And Jack Thomas, well...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes.
This is obviously a horrific incident that takes your breath away and sinks your heart.
The Corps of Engineers has reduced the flow of the Mississippi River with the system of locks. That's good news.
They readjusted the flow, so to speak, of the river current, and the divers are now back in.
That's Governor Tim Pawlenty. As many as 30 people are still missing after that bridge collapse in Minneapolis. The dreadful feeling is they are in those submerged cars and trucks.
While they honored the victims at church services, they learned the death toll is likely to grow.
We have several individuals at that scene that were not recovered.
Police Chief Tim Dolan says responders did reach some of them, but were unable to get them out of submerged cars, many trapped by the steel debris.
People that were pinned, people that were partly crushed.
And one who realized he wouldn't make it.
An individual was severely injured and was talking to medical personnel and was able to say his goodbyes to his family and it would be passed on.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Minneapolis.
President Bush plans to visit the bridge collapse scene and Minneapolis on Saturday.
I'm Peter King. We're hearing this a lot. Too little cash spent on highway and bridge maintenance. This man thinks he knows why.
Not enough decision makers are engineers. That's the bottom line.
Joe Tedesco is chair of the Civil and Coastal Engineering Department at the University of Florida.
Engineers, you know, think analytically. They think long term. And the people that make that decision don't have that type of training.
He says one civil engineering group has given the nation's bridges a C, with about 600,000 structurally deficient or functionally obsolete.
We continue to drive on virtually all of those bridges, taking a Brillo pad to political ethics rules on Capitol Hill.
The ayes are 83, the nays are 14. The motion is adopted.
It's the biggest change in ethics and lobby laws since Watergate and the direct result of the Abramoff lobby scandal and recent bribery cases in Congress. It won't stop lobbyists from bundling campaign contributions, but they'll have to disclose what they're giving and to whom. And members can no longer stick secret spending items into bills to help one company or industry or town. They'll have to say who's getting what. The law bans lobbyists' gifts, trips, and lavish parties and makes senators pay full fare for trips on charter planes. House members can't fly on corporate jets at all. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
You remember the attempted bombing at Glasgow Airport in Scotland. Sky News is reporting now, this just in, that the terror suspect named Kafil Ahmed has died in the hospital of burns sustained in that attack. Rush hour complications on the rails between New York City and Philadelphia. Fire on one of the Acela Express trains broke out in the back cars. The train's now limping into Trenton, New Jersey. No lights. The AC is broken and it's 90 degrees out. Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 101 points today. The NASDAQ was up about 22. This is CBS News.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity here, so you know what that means. It's Honda clearance time. And if you're into trucks, you are going to love this, because it's your opportunity to get behind the wheel of a new Ridgeline, the versatile Element, the classy CRV, or an 8-passenger Pilot for a deal that just might make your head spin. Look, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. Your wallet can thank me later, if you get my meaning. Don't you just love it when I'm around? The 2007 Honda Clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to CampusDoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit CampusDoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
A stroke by any other name is still a bummer, even when it's a whispering stroke.
Silent strokes or whispering strokes can significantly reduce your ability to function and your quality of life, a study says. The warning signs are the same as for more serious strokes, for instance.
Inability to express your thoughts, to understand what other people are saying to you, being completely weak on one side of your body.
But the symptoms don't last as long and are often dismissed, says University of Alabama researcher George Howard in the journal Stroke.
Particularly understanding is one prison warden in Serbia. A man who was sent to jail there for stabbing a man had left his bull back at the farm with no one to tend to him. That's not fair to the bull. So prison officials agreed to bring the bull to the man so he can care for him. And they also say the bull will live at the prison farm and may even be able to earn his keep by taking care of some of the cows there. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including our own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
AC.
Well, hello, and how are you? I'm Christine Kraft, and you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM, Talk City. And you are also listening in several cities other than Sacramento the rest of this week and all next week as my friend and colleague Peter B. Collins takes a much-deserved hiatus. He'll tell you all about it when he gets back, I believe, on the 13th of August. In any event, we are on several stations other than KSAC here in Sacramento, the progressive talk station here in California's capital. Also on KRXA 540 AM in Monterey. On KGOE in Eureka, KBBR in Coos Bay, Oregon, and KPOJ in Portland, Oregon. And we're delighted to welcome all of you. Now, my first guest, he didn't answer the phone. Okay, well, he's back in D.C. someplace, and we're trying to get through to him. And so we will see if we can get through to him eventually. Center for American Progress. And we will talk with them when we were able to get through. That is to Faiz Shakir, who's got a lot to say about the New York Times piece earlier this week in which two reporters said, oh, yeah, we can really win in Iraq. And you've heard Randy Rhodes talking about that if you're listening to KSAC and some of these other stations. But we'll try to get with him a little bit later. We're having some connection issues with that. I want to ask you about this. I want to tell you, first of all, we've got some guests today. And every day between now and, well, the end of this month, however long it takes, there's a trial going on in federal district court here in Sacramento. It is of a physician, Dr. Molly Fry, and her husband, lawyer Dale Schaefer. And they have been charged with manufacturing marijuana to give to their very sick, her very sick patients. She's a cancer survivor. You may have heard her yesterday on this program. They had jury selection yesterday. And today we are hoping that circumstances permitting, that Tony Serra, J. Tony Serra, their lawyer will be, or Molly's lawyer will be in with us probably in the last half of the 5 o'clock hour, 5:30-ish. Okay, so that will be good. At 5 o'clock, Mark Maron's going to be here. If you're in Sacramento, you probably know who Mark Maron is. He's a well-known civil rights lawyer, and he's got a case that's written about extensively in today's Sacramento Bee newspaper. If you want to read the story, it's www.sacbee.com. And he's decided to take up the plight of, well, the homeless people. That's right. He's trying to get a class action case certified here. But he's representing some homeless people because there's this pattern and practice here in Sacramento, particularly around the time the Boobin Grabber was inaugurated. That's the current governor of California. The sheriff's department and other law enforcement go down along the river and roust all the homeless people. And they don't just say, get out, move on, nothing to see here. No, they take their belongings. They take their sleeping bags, their blankets, their possessions, their prescriptions, their eyeglasses, all kinds of things. And boom, that's it. You can't get them back. It's gone. It's done. And some city leaders and mothers are saying, oh, I'm just shocked that that goes on. Well, it's been going on for years. Wake up and smell the truth here. So we're delighted that Mark Maron has taken up the cause of the homeless. It's a Fourth Amendment, a constitutional issue. Just because you don't have a house, aren't you entitled to have to be secure in some of your own with some of your own possessions? Shouldn't you be able to hang on to your prescription medicine if you're a homeless person? I think so. Shouldn't you be able to hang on to your sleeping bag or your blanket or your pillow or your little tent that you have? Yeah, you ought to be able to. What is this anyway, the Soviet Union? What is this, the Ukraine? This is the USA. So Mark Maron will be in with us today in the 5 o'clock hour, and he's going to bring with him one of his clients in this case representing the homeless. And if I have to hear one more time about, oh, why would we want John Edwards for president? He's a lawyer. We got too many trial lawyers, you know, running around chasing ambulances, and that's the last thing we need. Well, John Edwards, much like Mark Maron, very often has represented people who had no means to pay him, right? So we'll be delighted to welcome Mark Maron onto this program this afternoon in the 5 o'clock hour. We're also going to talk to Peter B. Collins, military expert Scott Dick. He will be talking to us from the Monterey Peninsula in the 4 o'clock hour. And we'll try once again to reach our colleague at the Center for American Progress and see. We're having some phone problems. We can't seem to reach him. We will try to do that. We always try, all right? While we're trying to do that, let's talk about something else. What do you think about this? And Jason, please. Jason is my ace producer. Would you give them another call? Thank you. John Edwards today, and I think this is a good idea. I agree with John Edwards on this, but I think this is disgusting. John Edwards criticized Hillary Clinton today for taking more than $20,000 in donations from News Corp officials. That's News Corp. That's, of course, you know, the owner of Fox News. This is Rupert Murdoch arguing, John Edwards, that the company's Fox News channel has a right-wing bias and the Democrats should avoid the company. I agree. You know what, Hillary? You don't need that extra $20,000 that much. Give it back to Rupert. You know, give it back to Rupert, if you would. So I think he's right. Edwards has led the Democratic candidates so far the boycott of Fox's plans to host Democratic presidential debates. No. Why would you go someplace where they know they hate you and are targeting you and aren't going to print or write or broadcast any truth about you? He's absolutely right, John Edwards, when he says, just say no. And Hillary ought to take, she won't do it because it's her rival that's making this question, but she ought to say, you know, I've thought long and hard about this. And, you know, she would go a long distance and say, you know, John Edwards is right. Give it back. People say, wow, she just acknowledged another candidate was right about something. Wow, she's the kind of person who can mend fences and, you know, build things. Good for her. But that probably won't happen. Edwards said, the time has come for Democrats to stop pretending to be friends with the very people who demonize the Democratic Party. He challenged his rivals to refuse contributions from executives of News Corp and to return any they had already received. The Edwards campaign sent out emails to supporters with the subject line unfair and unbalanced, asking them to donate in support of his stand against the company. His spokesman, Eric Schultz, said thousands of good people work at Fox News and News Corp. But this is about the bias of top executives, can you say, Rupert Murdoch? Those who make real editorial decisions like Rupert Murdoch, people who continually sanction unfounded attacks on Democrats. And that's why Democrats, like Senator Clinton, should either reject their money or return it. What do you think? Is John Edwards right about this? And if you want to weigh in, our phone number here in Sacramento is 766-1240, 766-1240. Our toll-free number is 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. So if you are on the fabulous Monterey Peninsula or in Eureka, Coos Bay, or Portland, that's the number you call in on, 877, toll-free, 877-766-1240, 766-1240. Is John Edwards right to take on Hillary Clinton's acceptance of $20,000 and God knows what else from Rupert Murdoch, who's just purchased the Wall Street Journal? There goes another American paper down the tubes. You might as well just forget about it, or has been said in the past. Abby Hoffman used to say, steal this book. He was referring to his own book, which I always thought was quite funny. But, you know, I'm certainly not going to suggest that you steal the Wall Street Journal. Not at all. Let's talk to Jen in Sacramento on line one. Hey, Jen, you're on Talk City. Hi.
Hi, Christine.
Hey, you.
Hey. I wanted to share some information with you. It's regarding the sheriffs and going down to the river. They don't even give those people a notice. What they do is very early in the morning or very late in the night, they go and they do raids. And so the people, they don't really know, they're startled, and so they just jump up and scatter,
right.
And then they take it, and it's so disgusting to treat people as if they're not human beings. And I wanted to share that because a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, they probably have warnings and all this other stuff.
No, they don't give them any warnings. No, and it's hideous. It is akin, and what cracks me up is that we'll have a law enforcement officer who dies tragically, like the CHP officer who was killed the other day, and that's very sad. But there'll be all sorts of tributes to him and how, you know, God watches over law enforcement and God this and God this, and they'll have their chaplains. And yet those same people can turn a blind eye and go down and raid the homeless camps and take their animals away, kill their animals, haul the animals off. Or maybe the only thing that person has is that dog companion. Haul that dog off, and then they can't bail them out, and they'll kill the dog. Take all their possessions, their prescriptions, their eyeglasses, everything they have. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. How dare they claim God in anything that they do?
Exactly. So I just wanted to share that with you because
Jen.
I know firsthand. Okay, thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right. 766-1240 is our local number, 877-766-1240, if you are calling from out of town. Matt on line two. Hey, Matt, what do you think about Hillary taking the bucks from Rupert Murdoch?
Yeah, that's pretty disgusting in my eyes. But what I wanted to suggest is that, you know, everybody that's listening, you know, go to her website and send her an email and, you know, demand that she give the money, or ask, however you want to do it, that she give the money back.
Or say, you're not going to get my vote in the primary. Of course, she's not going to get my vote in the primary anyway. I'm an Edwards supporter. But let's face it, if Hillary Clinton is the nominee of the Democratic Party, and it's already been predetermined that she will be, let me just tell you right now, the party elites have made up their mind. That's their person. If she's the candidate of the Democratic Party and she doesn't give back the $20,900 to Rupert Murdoch, you're going to vote for her come the general election.
Right, and also say, hey, you know, I was going to, you know, I was thinking about maybe backing you and maybe even donating some money to your campaign, but, you know, once I hear that you're being backed by, you know, the enemy, you're not going to get one penny out of me.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it, Matt, and I think, you know, I certainly can't tell other people to do that, but if you are appalled, most of Murdoch's donations go to Republicans. He did give $4,200 to Clinton's Senate campaign in 2006 because he knew she was going to win. He knew that she would have the power. Held a fundraiser for her at News Corp's Midtown headquarters. Donated $2,300 to her presidential campaign. And now $20,000 plus. So, yeah, I don't know. Oh, yes, his son, who is generally seen to be the likely candidate to replace the father, also gave money as well. So you can comment on that if you would like. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, also being heard on all of Peter B. Collins' excellent radio stations in California and Oregon, and we'll be back after this.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
For words,
my own sister.
There was an ad for something, and I said, this is for Liz spill-proof teas. They couldn't make a stain on this. You always have salad dressing stains, Liz.
I do, yes.
Sounds like it wouldn't be that breathable a fabric.
Are these for grown-ups?
These are grown-ups.
Oh, thanks, Leanne.
The Satellite Sisters, Saturdays, 6 to 9 a.m., on Sacramento's only progressive talk station.
Sacramento on KSAC, Sacramento's only progressive talk station. I'm Christine Kraft, also being heard this week and all next on KRXA, KGOE, KBBR, and KPOJ. And welcome to everybody. Once again, our phone numbers, 766-1240 locally, 877-766-1240, not so locally, if you get my drift. Well, that's not the only thing John Edwards had to say. No, John Edwards was asked about Rudolph Giuliani. Well, what if Giuliani... And he said, Giuliani is like George Bush on steroids. Oh, I love it. Yeah, yeah, that's what it's going to be. He said, this is a precise quote, Giuliani, Romney, and the rest of the Republicans running for the nomination are going to give this country 4 more years of crony capitalism, which is exactly what we have now. Okay? So, Yeah, that's exactly right, Giuliani. And by the way, those of you who don't know everything you need to know about Rudolph Giuliani, may I highly recommend, this is the top of my reading list on Rudolph Giuliani, and you can only get it really, I think, online. Go to www.radiosilencefdny. That's right, radiosilencefdny.com. And that's a book written by a current New York City Fire Department Battalion Chief, and Bill Bowen, who, by the way, is a Republican, nonetheless appalled at Rudolph Giuliani's, quote, leadership in New York City at the time of 9/11. And they go into the vivid detail, complete with exhibits, documents, the whole shebang on Mr. Rudolph Giuliani. You see, the original, in 1993, the original radios that the fire department and the police department had didn't work. So that's why it was so difficult in the first attack on the World Trade Center to do things properly. Oh, we've really got that. If we can do just one thing, if there's one lesson to learn from 1993 attack on the World Trade Center, we need better ability to communicate with each other, the first responders. And so the mayor, instead of following the typical bid process in which people come in and say, well, we can outfit your fire department with these radios and your police department with these radios, and this is how they work, et cetera, and, you know, having to make their pitch and prove that their products were good and were the best possible products for, I mean, my God, the major American city is New York City, right? You would want the very, very best ability to communicate. And so Rudolph Giuliani, oh, no, he and his special buddy, Bernard Kerik, saw a special deal they could get with Motorola. So I don't know about Portland, Eureka, Monterey, and Coos Bay, Oregon, but if you have Motorola radios or first responders, if you're a firefighter or police officer or other first responder or paramedic, you know that your Motorola radios, well, you can call in and tell me about them. I'll let you do the talking. Let's put it that way. That's 877-766-1240. Don't work, you say? I wonder if that's just unique to your city. Well, Mr. Giuliani, whom John Edwards calls Giuliani is Bush on steroids. Oh, my God, what a nightmare. Mr. Giuliani made a special no-bid deal with Motorola, with kickbacks for him and his buddies, for radios that were even worse than the original radios they had in 1993. And so, on September 11th, 2001, when the World Trade Center disaster occurred and the first responders couldn't talk to each other, when there were 130 innocent firemen inside of one of those towers as the other tower was falling, the battalion chiefs were on the outside of that building saying, get out now, get out now, get out now. They could not be heard. So when Rudolph Giuliani gives his big speech as he stands back, his back to a huge, enormous American flag, I mean, bigger than any flag has ever been, and he stands there as if he's of the same scale, and argues that, oh, our firefighters, they were the best and the bravest. Why, they were inside that tower, and they knew they were supposed to get out, but they know people might need their help, so they kept going up and up and up and up, trying to find people to rescue. Their own peril was not even on their minds. No siree. He's full of crap, to put it bluntly, okay? I don't know how I could put it more bluntly, because the fact of the matter is they were not climbing the staircases looking for yet another victim to save. They were on the 19th floor in a staging area. Most of them were seated at the time, waiting for commands from their battalion commanders, who could not reach them because the radios didn't work, because Mr. Giuliani had made a deal for radios that were even worse than the radios from 1993. So bad were the new Motorola wonderful communication system that those firefighters and police officers, guess what radios they had the day of September 11th, 2001? They had the same radios that hadn't worked in 1993. They had no choice, thanks to Rudolph Giuliani. So he was no great leader. He was no defender of the public safety or of the safety and ability of first responders to do their job. He was a nightmare. So let me recommend once again for your reading perusal, check out the website www.radiosilencefdny and check out that book, get that book, read that book, and you will know all you could ever want to know about Rudolph Giuliani and his charming bride, Cruella DeVille Giuliani. Yes, Judith Nathan, who used to go and buy puppies from the shelters in New York and then give them over for her boss's medical experiments on medical equipment. Yes, we'll call her Cruella DeVille Giuliani from now on. And you aren't Cruella DeVille at all. You are listening to
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention, whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs, our friends Louis Basil of Jamestown Real Estate and Ronnie Bramer of New Horizon Real Estate Group in St. Petersburg, Florida, will be on the show talking about investing in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. Call Louis Basil now at 415-531-6815 to learn about these areas. That's 415-531-6815. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Named the best female talk show host in Sacramento by the Sacramento News and Review. You're listening to the Christine Kraft Show.
Yeah, welcome back. I'm Christine Kraft. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, and all, of course, Peter B. Collins' excellent network of stations in California and Oregon. Our phone numbers, once again, 766-1240 locally in Sacramento, or toll-free from anywhere, 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. 766-1240. Let's talk to some people, shall we? How about Charles on line one? Hey, Charles, how are you?
Christine.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton, I think it is utterly ridiculous that any Democrats would take anything from those.
Yeah, just sort of, it's one thing about being bipartisan, but don't take money from a man whose television network and newspaper holdings do everything they can, not just to be politically biased against Democrats, that's one thing, but to lie about Democrats and to conjure up things about Democrats that are very often untrue. Just say, no, thank you, we're not playing. I'm sorry, Hillary Clinton does not need that $20,000 so much that she has to suck up to Rupert Murdoch.
You can just give it right back to him. I mean, just give it back to the idiots.
Or better yet, keep it and give it to a deserving charity.
I'm leaning towards John Edwards, That's where I'm leaning.
Well, you know, I love John Edwards and I have for the longest time. And I take great offense, not just because I'm a lawyer, but people attack him and say, well, he's a lawyer. You realize that most of the members of Congress are lawyers. Being a lawyer isn't in and of itself a terrible thing. It's a very difficult course of study and not the easiest life, by the way. But
I have a very good friend that's a lawyer. So.
And if you ever need one, who are you going to call? Oh, we don't want some lawyer. Excuse me, you don't want someone who is going to help you if you are injured. And in John Edwards' case, many of the clients that he's taken on, if you look at some of the cases he's had great success with, have been people who, if they hadn't had an advocate like John Edwards, first of all, would not have been able to fight the big corporate entity whose product damaged them, hurt them, injured them severely. The case that's most typically cited is the one where the little girl was in a hot tub, and the drain on the hot tub was faulty and sucked her intestines into the drain, 12-year-old girl. She survived, but she will have, you know, appliances and bags and this and that for the whole rest of her life. That was a poor family. They didn't have the money to sue. To go forward with that case, and they got themselves a great advocate in the form of John Edwards, who sucked up many of the costs in that case and went ahead and won that case for her. So he's not an ambulance chaser just looking for somebody who's damaged and deep pockets to go after. He is an advocate for people who need representation in the worst way. He's the best kind of lawyer. So I'm a big fan.
That's actually the type of president we need in this country, because the way things are going now, you know, I work at one of the oil company stations, and I hear a lot of bad talk in regards to this administration, the oil companies, or just corporate America, period. You know, and people out here are very upset. I mean, they're really, really upset.
No, we don't want to say we don't want corporations. We do need corporations for many of the functions in our life, but we want them regulated to the point that they're not doing harm to the public. We want government, for example, that makes sure if we have a Food and Drug Administration, we want to make sure that the FDA is checking and is assuring us that the food that's brought in from other places and food that's grown in this country is safe for our consumption. We want to put more efforts into assuring that that's right, not just, oh, let the marketplace being the only determinant. I mean, you don't know when you put something in your mouth if it's poisoned or tainted. I mean, just the other day, another recall of toys. This is from Fisher-Price and Mattel, all made in China.
And yep, that's wild. I mean, things just seem to be going crazy. I mean, deregulation was good at some point in time, but now it's just gotten out of hand to where only a few have control. And right now, those few who have control over our lives are really
that's right. They're not
using it.
They're not these wonderful, benign, oh, we know so much better than you, we'll take care of you. It's not that kind of thing. It's we will abuse you until you scream, and it looks like you're going to keep taking more. If it worked in the past, we'll keep pressing, and if you don't cry out and scream and protest, we'll just keep doing it as far as we can and as long as we can until you have no strength left to fight back.
And so, I did agree with you on that, Pat Tillman, too, because you had called it early on.
Yeah.
Was all about, and I was kind of like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what it sounds like to me too.
Well, I'm still not convinced. I mean, we know they keep saying friendly fire. I don't know whether it was accidental friendly fire, the three bullets in the middle of his forehead, or indeed something intentional, because their poster boy, their hero, was going to come back and speak truth to power, and they it wasn't just that they stood to lose more if he'd come back alive and told the truth about what he saw.
The downside to that is that we'll never know the truth.
Probably not. You and I are both old enough, Charles, to know that we'll probably never know the truth, but we can still have those questions. Thank you for the call.
If they change that guy's letter, the other surgeon.
Right, who observed it.
Yeah, if they change his letter, man, what do you think they're doing?
Exactly. Thank you very much. And part of the testimony of Rumsfeld yesterday was there's no letter, there's no information, there's no document that proves Mrs. Tillman is right. In other words, we've made sure that everything that could point to the truth has been destroyed. That's basically what they've done. This is not good enough. Our country deserves a lot better than these people, don't you think? Yeah, I know you do. We wouldn't be listening to this radio station. Let's go to Joe, I think, in Santa Cruz. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hello.
Where are you?
Yeah, I'm over here in the Monterey Bay area, close enough.
Yeah.
I don't want to pinpoint myself too much,
because
every time I call our station KXRA, you know, you get the little helicopters and the men in black and all that.
Really?
It's nice a day down. The sun's trying to peek out down here, so that's, you know, something to be thankful for.
Well, I don't know
anyway,
about that. I lived in Carmel for
a minute.
Hello? You listening, Joe?
I
It's a conversation. Okay, put Pot Joe down. Okay, Joe, I want you to listen very carefully before we talk again. When I'm talking to you, you know, you kind of be quiet, and then I'll be quiet when you talk to me, but sort of listen here. Okay, go, put Joe back on. Can you hear me, Joe?
Yeah, barely. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Before my battery cuts out, I'm one of those seniors on a lifeline, and I'm amazed. It's a miracle that I could even get through to you because they try to thwart that.
Okay.
When I heard you running down all those, were those from the new torture methods, like the safe methods thing? I thought I was hearing Randy Rhoads until I realized that wasn't it. You know, about the suffering and you got to, how much you can take and then you can't get back up and all that.
I don't know who you're listening to, but I thank you very much for the call. It's not me. So maybe it was, I don't think Randy talked about Torture Day. I don't know. That's a different show. That wasn't me. Not very many of us in talk radio, women at all, much less progressive talk radio, but some great voices nonetheless. 766-1240 is the local number, the toll-free number for anywhere, 877-766-1240. Jorge, or is it George? It's George at line three. See, Jason, my producer, has these great spellings of things. Hi, George.
Hello, Christine.
Where are you calling from, George?
You're just Sacramento.
Yeah, okay.
And so I just had three comments, actually. I don't think it's the first time... she's taken money from Murdoch, I think, a year or two ago, and ostensibly is probably for her senatorial.
Yes, in fact, I just mentioned that. Didn't hear it. Yes. He gave the max, which was $4,200 in 2006. Held a fundraiser for her at News Corp's Midtown headquarters. Well, I can understand, you know, Fox News is pretty powerful, maybe trying to bridge the gaps here, but I'm sorry. When you're taking money from a company that does everything it can to... I mean, she's the one, remember, who I think absolutely was correct when she said it was a vast right-wing conspiracy out to get her husband and to get them. She was absolutely right about that. So, you know, there's a point at which you just say, you know, I don't think we're really going to, homie, don't play that, is what she should be saying. When Rupert said, here, have a check, you know, Hillary, you know, maybe we can do this and do that. Just say, sorry, homie, don't play that, because they're going to blast her and make fun of her regardless. So maybe she figures, well... they're going to blast me and make fun of me no matter what I do, so I might as well take their money. How about that twist on it?
Yeah, well, that's good. I don't know whether Murdoch actually still, whether he really owns the Wall Street Journal yet, because...
Almost.
Wasn't there a family that was put there over 100 years ago?
And the family has caved.
Oh, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then that's old news, too.
And I don't expect the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal to change much. It's very, very right-wing. But the actual body of the newspaper, which was good, solid journalism, you might as well kiss that goodbye. And they'll keep the same people on for, you know, 6 months or so, and then they'll start tightening the reins in what they report, and the real journalists will say, up yours, and they'll depart, and there's your end of the Wall Street Journal. So, yes, thank you so much, Mr. Murdoch. You've done so much to destroy this nation. Why don't you just stop?
He funded the neocons and, you know, through that Weekly Standard.
That's right, and gave them a mouthpiece in Fox News. You know when Dick, the big Dick Cheney, travels any place in the country, moves, goes into a hotel room, every single TV set in that hotel suite has to have on, guess what, Fox News. He prefers three television sets in every room, hopefully all tuned to Fox News.
I think the comedians made a big thing over that.
Mm-hmm.
But another about Giuliani, you know, he hurried up when they were, cleaning out the World Trade Center.
As they found the gold in the bank, boy, I'll tell you, he wanted that whole mess up cleaned up quickly. It didn't matter. They're still finding body parts, you know, because the initial cleanup wasn't done properly. And the savagely awful irony of it all is all those body parts and debris, it was all taken to a site, I believe on Long Island, called the Fresh Kills Refuse. Sad name, Fresh Kills. It all got taken out there.
But he was mindless of the safety of the people who were doing it. He didn't care.
Of course not. He doesn't care now either, nor will he.
Thousands of them got sick. And
he has the perfect mate in Cruella DeVille Giuliani. This is a woman who, in one of her prior marriages, had a job working for a medical supply company. And in order to have these little demonstrations of how good their various tools and their... various scalpels and things were, she would go to the local shelters in New York City and say, oh, what a cute little fluffy dog. I just have to have it. Take it out. and then take it for this experiment in which the animal would be anesthetized and chopped up and killed right in front of her client. So we'll call her Cruella de Vil from the movie 101 Dalmatians and a cross-eyed Cruella de Vil in any event. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you very much.
All right, George. Let's go to Luis in Sacramento, line one. Hey there.
It's Luis.
Oh.
Hey, when the elections were going on, I was horrified to find that 1240 was running Republican candidate ads.
Really? We were? Who were we running Republican candidate ads for?
And yeah.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. Who were we running Republican candidate ads for, Luis?
For local Republican candidates.
And
when there was an issue brought
up
about
Luis.
I cannot remember
then
who.
Thank you.
I
tell you what, Luis. Okay, put it down. Just put him down. Oh, he's gone already. Luis, I want you to listen very, very carefully. I want to take the garbage out of your ears. We do not run ads for Republicans on a progressive radio station. If you want to call up and accuse us of doing that, then you sure as heck had better have your facts straight. Don't just be pulling some sort of allegation out of your posterior. If there's someone you think that we were running ads for some right-wingers and you've got proof of that, you call in and tell me who. So that when I ask you, who are you talking about, Luis? You have no idea. You've forgotten. But you're so worked up and you're so angry that you want to just let us know. Louis, you're full of it. Okay? No, I don't. Tell Louis to prepare himself better before he comes on the air and insults us and insults this progressive radio station, which has taken lots of risks to bring you a menu of progressive radio shows for over 3 years now. So, Louis, you clean up your memory first, all right? But don't call in here with some sort of allegation that we're running ads for Republicans, and you can't quite remember who it was, but you're so worked up about it, you got to call in and let us know. Huh? You're a jerk, Louis, okay? Don't call back. How's that? Because you're full of it. And I don't need that. I got a lot of people who aren't full of it. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, and all of Peter B. Collins' excellent radio stations, and we will be right back after this.
Started with one step.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
At the nation's capital before the August recess, what's left on the table? And Defense Secretary Robert Gates has admitted that political reform in Iraq is tougher than what they thought it would be. We'll take your calls and have the latest news Friday on the
edge. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
At all. 766-1240 is the phone number. I am Christine Kraft. Our toll-free number, 877-766-1240. I think what Lewis was referring to, but he was so angry that he couldn't remember what he was angry about, was that during the congressional elections, we were running, in fact, we introduced to this community, Lieutenant Colonel Charlie Brown, who ran for a congressional seat up in the red neck of the woods up the road here, against a man named John Doolittle, who is being investigated by the FBI and the federal government, had his house raided, et cetera, because of his close, very strange connections to Jack Abramoff. And there is a law that if you are airing the spots for an opponent in a federal race like that, and the other opponent, the one who's not on the air, wants to buy time, you can't say no to them. So that was the deal he was referring to. The funny thing was, is that Louise, she couldn't be remembering what exactly he was so upset about, you know? So that's what it was. Anyway, 766-1240 is the phone number. And who do we have up next? Oh, they're all gone? They're all gone? No one's here? Okay. All right. We do have some guests coming up, and I mentioned before we are following every single day of the month, as long as this trial goes on in federal district court, the trial against federal charges against a local physician, Dr. Molly Fry, and her husband, Dale Schaefer, who's a lawyer, and she's a cancer survivor, prescribes medicinal marijuana to her AIDS patients, people with severe arthritis and sleep disorders, et cetera. And the federal government has targeted her. They're charging her with manufacturing marijuana. And it's very serious. They've offered them a plea deal in which she has to promise not to practice medicine for 5 years, and her husband gets 5 months. They've said no thank you to the plea deal because they understand and believe that the people of California had every right to vote for Proposition 215, which legalizes medicinal marijuana for physicians to prescribe to their sick patients. And that ought to be between the physician and the patient, and they are on trial right now. Tony Serra representing Molly Fry, and they're going to be with us at some point today in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, Mark Marin, a local civil rights attorney. He wants to represent the homeless. In fact, he is going after local law enforcement, the sheriff's department et al., because they roused the homeless from their encampments along the river. They're not hurting anybody. They're just surviving. What do they want them to do? Just kill themselves, I guess. And they don't just say, get on, move on. There's nothing here, move on out. They take their animals, take them to animal control where they're killed. Just lovely, because the homeless person doesn't have the money to bail out the dog that may be their one friend and protection against the dangerous world out there. But they take their sleeping bags, their blankets, their clothes, their prescriptions, their eyeglasses. And that's it. You don't get that stuff back. And our local city fathers and mothers go, oh, how could that happen? We had no idea that was happening. Of course they did. They're lying. So, excellent. Mark Maron, civil rights lawsuit representing not people with lots of well-heeled money who can afford to hire the best civil rights lawyer, but he is a lawyer of conscience, my kind of lawyer, and he will be with us at 5, along with one of his plaintiffs who was rousted from along the river, not hurting anybody, and local law enforcement, the county sheriffs, took all of his possessions. I mean, what do you do? What if you're somebody, you're epileptic, and you happen to be homeless, and they take your medicine and just throw it out? Aren't they culpable in your sickness and injury and potentially your death? I think so. So we'll talk with Mark Marin about that, and that's a story that applies here in Sacramento as well as any place else you're listening to on Peter B's network as well. Okay, so we've told you about John Edwards going after Hillary Clinton saying, give back the money. Don't take money from Rupert Murdoch. Just say no. This is the best time to do the old Nancy Reagan thing. Just say no, okay? Let's go to Joe on line three. Hey, Joe, you're on Talk City.
Hi, I'm calling about the Dr. Fry issue.
Yes, and she'll be here in the 5 o'clock hour today.
Oh, actually, I will call back. I was on a local trial for a smoker litigation trial here in Sacramento. It lasted almost 5 months.
Oh, my goodness.
And
was
one
it
of the
federal
main
court?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It was California Superior Court.
Oh, no, not federal court.
Excuse
then.
Me. No, it was California Superior Court, correct.
Right.
One of the issues was they were talking about whether or not smoking of cigarettes should have been regulated by the Federal Drug Administration, the FDA, because it is a drug delivery system. The cigarette itself delivers nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
So that the cigarette delivering nicotine is actually a drug delivery, but in order for it to not be regulated by the FDA, they had to put a blind eye to that.
Sure.
But one of the things they touched on in this trial was marijuana, and they used that same analogy saying that it is a naturally occurring plant that is smoked, just like tobacco, a naturally occurring
without
plant
additives.
That is smoked without additives, and the only difference is that the nicotine is 100 times more addictive than the tetrahydrocannabinol that is in marijuana.
Right, and what is very interesting also, as you probably know, because you're on that jury, and also you probably know that they've done studies at the University of California that shows that medicinal marijuana absolutely is effective in helping with pain for sick people. So when the federal government says there's no shown effectiveness of marijuana in treating anything, they are full of it. They're living back in the Dark Ages. And I would also point out that many of the founding fathers were into what? Not only smoking marijuana, but using it to write on. In fact, it's that Declaration of Independence, I believe, is written on hemp paper, a close relative to marijuana, the hemp.
Well, absolutely. And one of the home remedies for people from Mexico back a long time ago would be to immerse marijuana in rubbing alcohol and use it for arthritis.
Sure.
And it was highly effective, like DMSO. And it was highly effective.
And I think that everybody, whether they're Republican or a Democrat or unsure or, you know, conservative, neocon, everybody ought to be able to, if they're geezers and they have arthritis, to be able to take some marijuana, grow the plant yourself, saute it in whatever oil is appropriate, pour off or, you know, use a colander, strain out the vegetable matter, and use that substance not to smoke, but to apply to your arthritic limbs, whether you're a federal judge or a nun or a priest or a God knows what. You ought to be able to do that.
Yeah, it was based on the social stigma applied to marijuana, and that's why it's currently illegal. But they could not provide any evidence that smoking cigarettes provide you any medicinal or other benefit other than the fact of delivering nicotine, which is a classified drug,
which you are addicted to.
But it's not regulated by the federal government or the FDA.
And that's because the tobacco industry gives big bucks to candidates to run for office. They own
and control. We spent a week listening to the reasons why the FDA would not regulate cigarettes under the guise of, well, it is not a
drug
delivery
system. And it's a load, and we're out of time. You're absolutely right, and I hope the jurors in this case will also understand what a load the federal government's position is on this. We're out of time, unfortunately. Thank you so much for calling. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, and all of Peter B's stations. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas. including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
What went wrong in Minneapolis?
A bridge in America just shouldn't fall down.
The search for victims is difficult.
A lot of particulate matter in the water, debris, very low visibility, maybe 6 inches to a foot.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Jamie Winiger and her husband Dennis, visiting from Houston, were on the 35W bridge at that awful moment just about 24 hours ago. The pavement collapsed beneath their car.
We just kept, you know, falling down, and then just hit.
Their fall was broken by another vehicle. They survived. Others were not so fortunate. Today, Minneapolis Police Chief Tim Dolan talked about the scene encountered by first responders.
People that were pinned, people that were partly crushed, that were told emergency workers to say hello, say goodbye.
The official death toll is 4, but will certainly go higher. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick is there.
Yesterday was a day of horror for the city of Minneapolis.
Today they were struggling to find more victims in the strong currents of the Mississippi River.
We have several individuals at that scene that were not recovered.
Police Chief Tim Dolan says rescuers couldn't free them from their cars or the wreckage of the bridge. Then there were the questions about inspections on this span and its designation as structurally deficient. Governor Tim Pawlenty.
There was no call by anyone that we're aware of that said it should be immediately closed.
But he said other bridges of this design will be inspected statewide. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, Minneapolis.
The Transportation Department just alerted all states to immediately inspect bridges of similar design. More on the story after this.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it during the August Savings Event at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From August 2nd through the 6th, save 25% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save $8 a gallon on Duration coatings and 25% on select wall coverings, too. Hurry, sale ends Monday, August 6th for painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Every one must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR on select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
At St. Olaf Roman Catholic Church in Minneapolis, a prayer service for the victims and for the families who wait for news. Jessica Engbertson's mother, Sherry, hasn't been heard from since she headed home from work last night. Keeping a vigil with her sister and their father, Jessica talked to CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts.
I've been up all night. This is something you don't deal with every day.
How's your dad?
He's a mess. We just want her home.
All over America, people are worried about the bridges they use every day. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes takes a look.
The bridges built in the boom years of the Eisenhower era have entered middle age, and thanks to neglect, they're not aging gracefully. 150,000 U.S. bridges are rated structurally deficient or obsolete. That's more than a quarter of the nation's bridges in need of major repairs or replacement.
Those bridges are an average age of 50 years old. And that's about what a bridge life is in using older designs.
Alan Beeler is Pennsylvania's transportation secretary. President Bush, offering federal help for Minneapolis, will visit there on Saturday. After kidnapping and killing an unarmed civilian in Iraq, a Marine squad leader, Lawrence Hutchins, was quoted as telling his men, "We just got away with murder." Today at Camp Pendleton, California, he was proved wrong. KNX Radio's Tom Riopelle was there.
Marine Sergeant Lawrence Hutchins showed no emotion as the verdict was read, guilty of unpremeditated murder in the shooting death of an Iraqi civilian in Hamdaniya. Hutchins is the first member of the so-called Pendleton 8 to be found guilty of murder. During a series of trials involving other Marines and a sailor, Hutchins was described as the instigator and ringleader of the shooting.
When the Marines failed to find a suspected terrorist they were looking for, prosecutors say they chose a victim at random and planted a gun and shovel near the body to make it look like he'd been burying a roadside bomb. In Scotland, suspected terrorist Kafil Ahmed has died of the severe burns he suffered June 30th when he allegedly drove a Jeep packed with explosives into the terminal at Glasgow Airport. That was the day after two failed car bombings in London. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity here, so you know what that means. It's Honda clearance time. And if you're into trucks, you are going to love this, because it's your opportunity to get behind the wheel of a new Ridgeline, the versatile Element, the classy CRV, or an 8-passenger Pilot for a deal that just might make your head spin. Look at your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. Your wallet can thank me later, if you get my meaning. Don't you just love it when I'm around? The 2007 Honda Clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to CampusDoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit CampusDoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft, and you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM Talk City. Our website, www.1240talkcity.com, 1240talkcity.com. You can click on my page, Christine's page, to see what we're up to here at this radio station. We're involved in a lot of political action here in the Capitol. We have all kinds of really fun, artful, expressive demonstrations, quite memorable, some of them. In fact, most of them. So we do that. We also support a number of interesting causes. One of them is a coming up here on August 20th, a trial begins for a woman named Veronica Salcido, who is a, she's not here legally. She is from Mexico. She was a nanny up in the foothills here, and the baby she was caring for was found to have this shaken baby syndrome. Baby died, and the parents blamed the babysitter, said it was her fault, and then they immediately went to the press and took out billboards, don't shake your baby, and they lobbied the legislature, and they've been doing all kinds of high publicity things saying the babysitter did it, the babysitter did it. Well, there's no bit of evidence out there to suggest the babysitter did anything, and the trial begins August 20th. I don't know what happened. But nor do the people in the jury pool up in that neck of the woods. And so we have a, I think, even somebody who's an illegal person, maybe especially a person who has no access to a lot of help, needs a fair trial and deserves a fair trial. So if you go to our website and click on my page, www.1240talkcity.com, you'll read a little bit about Veronica Salcido. We've raised some money for her and are trying to do that to guarantee that she has a fair trial. It begins August 20th, and I'll talk to you more about that probably next week. And so that's how to do it. If you want to send me an email, it's Christine, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, at 1240talkcity.com. And a special welcome to all of Peter B. Collins' listeners in Monterey, Monterey Peninsula, and my old stomping grounds, and Eureka, lovely Eureka, California, as well as Coos Bay, Oregon, and Portland. Peter, of course, on a bit of a holiday, and he'll be back August 13th, and I'll be with you all next week. Right now, let's go to line four, because Scott Dick is there, and Scott is the military expert for the Peter B. Collins program. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Christine. How are you? It's a pleasure to be up in Sacramento.
Well, yes, and you're in down in the Monterey Peninsula, aren't you? I'm very jealous.
I am indeed.
That's my old hometown, actually. Well, not hometown. I lived there for many years and loved it tremendously, never stopped loving it. But you are the military expert. You're a former Marine. And you come on every week with Peter and talk military issues. So let's share your expertise with our guests here in Sacramento as well. Big story probably for folks interested in things military, probably still the Pat Tillman and the testimony yesterday. What's your take?
Well, the Tillman story is not going to go. It is the big story, and the Tillman story is not going to go away anytime soon. It's just fueled by the medical examiner, the Army medical examiner's call to the CID saying, hey, we think this guy was shot at close range. And the disappearance of all that, when that issue wasn't pursued, and then the disappearance of his personal effects, they sort of sanitized it. But all conspiracies are not equal.
True.
And to me, I think it's a cautionary tale for people who immediately run to the defense of our federal government, our country, love it or leave it. You know, America, remember when we were kids growing up during the Vietnam War? It was America, love it or leave it. You know, your government's in this. You should be supporting the government.
Right.
Here's a family that did just that. They sent two of their sons into the military, into the hands of a government and a military complex that said, we will take care of them.
Yes, and these were poster boys for the military, especially Pat, because he's an NFL player with a big contract, everything to gain by staying here and not serving, everything to lose, in fact, indeed
sure.
losing his life, because he believed that we needed to go after them who were responsible for attacking this country on September 11th.
Well, and he turned down a $4 million contract. Now, that's big money.
Yeah.
And so they did everything. If you looked at the situation, they did everything right. Those two brothers and the family supported them, as far as I know, 100%. They're from, you know, that kind of family where, you know, patriotism and all that is important.
But you know what, Scott? Did you know, have you tracked this little part of the story down? Did you know they're not Christian? They are not religious. The family, had a very questioning mind, had studied all the world's major religions, but they're basically atheists. So that's a little bit of a glint off of the luster of someone who is put out there as an American archetype as warrior, supposed to be driven also by, you know, onward Christian soldiers.
Exactly. See, that's all part of, but that's not the tale that they were telling.
And no, so, exactly.
And then he's killed by fratricide, because there's no such thing. I hate to use the term friendly fire, because there's no such thing.
Nothing friendly about it.
No. And so he's killed in performance of his duties, and then I'm sure it turned out to be just a spin cycle, a simple spin cycle. Let's get through this other bad news that's out there, because this is more bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And once we spin it, and then we'll send out, we'll inch out other information and finally come clean. And
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, you know, about the moment you think you have things under control, it completely goes out of control. And then they went into full spin lie cycle. And now,
they help themselves, yes.
Can you imagine a guy at this level, at this notoriety, this famous, what they did to him and his family? Can you imagine what happens to that poor kid from the South someplace that doesn't have any kind of family social structure or support in the community?
Whatever they can get away with.
So, we see this administration that supposedly takes care of the troops, and I really, really, it chafes me, Christine, when you hear the administration talk about the troops and they want the bill passed, no questions asked, because it supports the troops. You know, he was a troop, and they haven't done anything to support him. And I remember early in the investigation, there's actually a general came out, one of those Bible-thumping generals that are on active duty, unfortunately, came out and said, well, it didn't really matter because he was an atheist anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's absolutely true. That's part of the saga, which makes it even more abhorrent, as if you have to have some sort of special religion to want to go and protect your country or do your country's battles. You don't have to be any religion at all. We do have a separation of those two things. But, you know, you say, and you warn, I think it's well advised to say, you don't want to jump to conclusions about a conspiracy, i.e. that maybe it was more than fratricide, maybe it was a deliberate murder, and I don't want to think that either. I'm a military brat myself. I'm taking care of my own 91-year-old Navy captain, World War II veteran. He's on his last legs there, so to speak. I've been doing it for 13 years, so I'm a big supporter of the American military. I'm a Navy brat.
Sure.
But nonetheless, when you hear, it wasn't just the doctor describing the three bullet wounds from 10 yards, probably close range, in his forehead, but another detail which also sort of compels you down, at least to contemplate another road, which is just horrible to contemplate, but I think you need to think about it as well, and that it might have been more than fratricide. I was most surprised by the little detail of, oh, yes, and by the way, there was no sign of any enemy fire in that valley. There was no firefight that was going on in the first place. So why was someone shooting at Patrick Tillman if there was no enemy fire going on at all in that valley?
Well, you know, the only thing, you're right, everything you said is right. The only thing is, from if it was a hit, they would have taken out the other kid too.
Right. Why would they leave someone behind to
exactly?
You
know, so there, it's just, you know, incompetence. You could be so incompetent, or you can be evil. And I waffle between the administration where, you know, they're so incompetent or they're evil, and it's hard to tell the difference between those two things. And in this case, it's the same thing. His chain of command was incompetent, and they got wrist slaps at this three-star general. Yet if he gets demoted, he's going to lose.
Yeah, and he's going to lose $900 a month in pay. And I did a little research, and one of my listeners wrote in and said, are you aware that he also works as COO for something called Oak Grove Technologies, which is a military contractor that does work for the CIA and others. And he is the COO of that. So they couldn't. They tried to serve him with a subpoena a couple days ago to get him to come and testify. They couldn't find him. He said, I'm going to evade the subpoena. I'm going to evade service. Well, you know, you may have to come to terms with that someday. But I don't know why they didn't just go to their mercenary company and try to find him there.
He's
not unemployed.
If he gets demoted, he's only going to make around eight. I did the numbers for
what
Brad. About $100,000 a year in retirement.
Yeah, even with the demotion.
Yeah, that's with the demotion. So these guys, you know, slap on the wrist, and he came real close to maybe going up on charges. But generals are very inky, stinky, inky, winky about putting each other up for charges, because you never know. It's like lawyers who sue for legal malpractice. You know,
it's
everybody
a rare breed,
gets
right. Everybody hates them.
Everybody knees start shaking. You know, and so they're not going to go there.
No.
And you know, there's another big story that the LA Times just put out, and it's about how stay behind. This is, you know, please don't write me emails, folks, if you're listening. If you're an Army wife, I mean, they've been dealing with this Army wife television show that's portraying these women as in a really bad light in a lot of ways. There's a new study out showing that Army spouses who are home alone, 99% female, are abusing their kids like three times as much as they do when their spouses are home.
Really?
Not so much in the male population, but in the female, the wife side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not unusual. I mean, they're under tremendous amount of strains and stresses when their significant other is at home. They got this really screwed up work schedule. It includes weekends. It includes holidays. It includes birthdays. Sometimes you never know when you're going to be called. We used to get called at 3:00 in the morning when I was in Germany to come in, and you get called in at 4:00 in the morning to come in and do a urine analysis. You work for idiots a lot of times. You work for alcoholics, and there's a pay issue. And living in a military community where everybody's looking over the back fence, everybody knows what everybody else is doing.
Yep.
Then you take all the men away, and it's just. And not for just one time, but for two times and for three times. And, you know, if they have kids, a lot of these are multiple kid families where they have two, three, four kids.
They haven't seen daddy except for a couple of weeks of leave in between, and maybe seen daddy a total of 5 weeks in 4 years of life.
And these are traditional conservative households where it's wait till your father gets home. You know, you're acting up, wait till your father gets home.
I remember that.
Yeah, he's a big guy in their mind. And even I was a big guy to my little kids. You know, I'm not a large person. But, you know, there's a certain level of discipline, there's a certain fear factor. Wait till your daddy gets home.
You knew you'd done something really wrong when your mom said, okay, you've really crossed the line this time. Wait till daddy gets home. That was sort of the ultimate authority.
Exactly. So daddy's not coming home for 9 more months or a year. Or they get told daddy's going to be home, you know, in a month, and then they get extended for 3 months.
Exactly.
It's devastating to the families, and you got these idiots who have never served, the neocons and the politicians.
Hold the thought. Oh. I'm angry, too. We're going to need to take a little break.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at traffic and see what we got going on. All right, let's check out a problem in, Monterey. Just going to mention the fact that it is at Laguna Seca Recreation Area. We have the annual Spirit West Coast Christian Music Festival that runs today through Saturday, August 4th. Now, concerts and other activities as well run from 10 a.m. to midnight. Going to mention that only because you can expect pretty moderate to heavy traffic at times. No other problems northbound or southbound 17. Highway 101 looking good. Highway 1 also no problems to report. We're going to mention that we do have a little bit of road work that we have told you about for the entire summer. It's northbound 1 at Emmeline. The off-ramp shut down and will be shut down until the summer of 2008. And this report is brought to you by Domino's Pizza. Join the Domino's Great Pizza Debate, but choose your favorite large topping pizza for just $9.99.
On weekdays, 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. and weekends, 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. on Sacramento's only progressive talk station, 1240 Talk City, KSAC.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC. We are also, for the remainder of this week, which means today and tomorrow, as well as all next week, having a great time filling in for my friend and colleague, Peter B. Collins, who is on a bit of a, well, he'll tell you all about his experience, his amazing experience when he gets back on August 13th. And so we're speaking to listeners in the Monterey Peninsula, also in, Santa Cruz, that's all included in that area, as well as Eureka, California, that whole area, and up into Oregon, Coos Bay, Oregon, and Portland, Oregon. And on our live line, on line 4 again, is Scott Dick, who is the military expert who comes on with Peter B. every week and does an analysis of all things military. Where we last left off before the news, we were talking, of course, about Pat Tillman. Complete your thoughts, if you would, Scott.
Well, we were just talking about the disservice that is done to what would should have been an exemplary handling of a case where a soldier, another soldier dies in Afghanistan. And, you know, I had a boss who used to say, and it's not, you know, not original, but he used to say, bad news does not get better with age. And this is a perfect illustration of that, where it spiraled out of control, and now it's really tainted everything that comes out of the DOD, and nobody, there was something like 22 different cases of fratricide where they told the families there was combat. And, you know, when you want to believe that your child was sacrificed in a noble, honorable cause, and
right.
you find he was just killed by his mates, it's really hard to take. And maybe that's what it is. But, you know, I think parents want to know the truth.
Yes, if it's your child, you want to know all the details, whether you'd rather know what they are than never know what they are, even if they are grim and sorrowful and hideous, you still want to know what happened to your child. That's a very personal link.
And this is linked to the next story we were talking about, which is they're talking about spousal or child abuse
yes.
at three times the levels of deployed families. And everybody needs to know that there's a reservist, for example, who just got out of his fifth deployment to Iraq and Afghanistan. He had to go to federal court. He's a reservist.
Yes.
And they wanted to send him back for the fifth time. Now, can you imagine the impact on a family?
Not even just monetarily, but not only that he's just not there, but monetarily he's probably not making as much money as he did on the regular job, so that family is suffering financially.
It's
not fair. It's placing the burden on those now who are. I mean, this is breaking the army, in my view.
Now, I'm glad you said that, because in 2 days ago they were doing an investigation, or they're discussing. I saw Lawrence Korb and General Kane. His name is spelled K-E-A-N-E, and mm-hmm. he pronounced Kane or Keen or some nonsense. I think it's Kane,
mm-hmm.
the way it's pronounced. And Joe Galloway has been on the show with Peter and I, and he's described Kane as, you know, basically a dullard. He's not known for strategic thinking. But he's the one who got in bed with the American Enterprise Institute and sold the surge to the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
So he's up on Capitol Hill testifying for a bunch of friendly Republicans, and they're probably basically putting down Lawrence Korb, who's saying, and he also worked for a Reagan administration, for God's sakes. He's
sure.
no rabid liberal.
Very bipartisan, yeah.
Saying that this is a problem. The army's broken, so Kane gets all outraged about, you can't, even though a bunch of the generals have said that, they're all retired like he is.
Right.
You can't say that this army is not broken. Then he says the typical BS line, he says, and we have record reenlistment rates in theater. But he doesn't say, one of the reasons is because we've paid those young men and women over last year, $1 billion.
In incentives.
Tax-free, if you're in theater.
And there was a story just this past week, I think Monday or so, an additional 20,000, the quick sign-ups, you know, oh, we'll give you 20,000. This is like making every soldier part of a mercenary army instead of regular military. And, you know, you always look to societies like Rome, which started to fall right around the time they had to hire mercenaries to do their regular job.
And this is a classic case of Republicans taking a sort of a corporate bonus approach towards these soldiers, Marines, the sailors, and airmen, and saying, we'll just pay you more money. This is really why you're serving, right? And then they come up with the cash. Now, here's the problem. In a year, 2 years, or 3 years, first of all, there's going to be a new president, whoever it is. We may be out of Iraq as a shooting war. Let's mm-hmm. say that. There are not going to be any more bonuses for a very, very long time. This chicken is going to come home to roost.
Oh, yes.
And we're going to see bonuses for absolutely the most in-demand shortage person that on the planet you can find, like doctors, like maybe like helicopter pilots. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in the hundreds,
gay
maybe the
translators.
Thousands.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're never going to see this money again. So a lot of troops know this. I mean, they're not stupid.
No.
So if you could get a $20,000 bonus, a tax-free, well, you can't get a tax-free if you go in, but $20,000, where they pay it when you get into theater, then, you're really doing well. The problem is they're 21, 22, 23-year-old kids. 54% of the casualties, the killed in action, are younger than 25.
Right.
These kids, what do they do with their money? They buy motorcycles and then kill themselves on their motorcycles.
Exactly.
They buy motorcycles, they buy cars, they buy flat-screen TVs. You know, very few of them have the sense, because they're young, they're going to live forever, to put that money away.
Right, they're immortal. Remember feeling immortal, that is?
Yeah, you just can't.
Well, and not to mention this, and we're almost out of time, we're going to take another break. Will you stay with us
sure.
for the break? And I want to talk about this when we come back. It is a dangerous world, and we may have some need for, I don't know, our military, our Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines in the future, in the near future. And if we find them, their backs broken by the policies of this administration, we're all going to be in a whole world of hurt. So we'll talk about that when we come back with Scott Dick, who is Peter B. Collins, military expert, on with him on the Peter B. Collins Network every week. And we're delighted to welcome him to these airwaves. Stay with us. Absolutely. We'll be back with that. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them to see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. The price of wine, like the price of oil or eggs or anything else, is a function of supply and demand. And at some of France's most celebrated vineyards, believe it or not, some excellent vintages have been transformed into alcohol for disinfectants or for gasoline additives. And the reason is not a decline in demand, although local wine consumption is down some. The French aren't drinking as much as they once did, true. But the real problem is chronic overproduction and oversupply, not only from French vineyards, but fierce competition from elsewhere in Europe and around the world. The European Union had been paying vintners to destroy some of their stock each year. $190 million worth of perfectly drinkable wine in 2005 alone. Quel dommage. More on the great wine crisis after this.
Do you know the difference between the millions of millionaires in this country and you? Simple. They decided they wanted to be millionaires, so they went out and did it. So, do you want to be a millionaire? If the answer is yes, then get ready to write down a number that could change your life forever. Because now you can get a free CD that shows you everything you need to start making the kind of money you deserve with an internet business that virtually runs itself. So you're making cash even while you're sleeping by selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. There are millions of millionaires out there. Don't you want to be one of them? Get the free CD from Internet Speedway and start making money with an internet business that virtually runs itself. For your free CD, call 1-800-220-4614. Deciding to be wealthy is the first step to becoming wealthy. Call now, 1-800-220-4614. The free CD is yours by calling 1-800-220-4614.
What the European Union has been trying to do, to the great dismay of vintners in France, Spain, and Italy, too, is to downsize Europe's wine industry by ripping out more than 100,000 acres of vines over the next 4 years. In 2005, Europe distilled 740 million gallons of wine. Meanwhile, producers in the United States, Chile, Australia, South Africa, and elsewhere are serving the world market with excellent wines at lower prices. Australia last year overtook France as Britain's main wine supplier. Louis-Fabrice Latour of the prestigious Louis Latour label in Burgundy says, in France we used to think we were the biggest and the best and no one could touch us. That French auteur blinded them to the threat from foreign rivals. And it's also true that French consumption is 800 million gallons a year. It sounds like a lot, but 26 years ago it was 1.3 billion. Something must be done. Maybe they should lower the drinking age. The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Only Progressive Talk Station, Talk City, 1240 AM, KSAC.
She's a rebel, she's a saint, she's the salt of the earth, and she's dangerous. She's a rebel, vigilante, missing link on the brink of destruction. From Chicago to Toronto, she's the one that they call.
Oh, what's her name? Oh, what's her name? My name is Christine Kraft, and I am the host of the Christine Kraft Show on Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, filling in the rest of this week and next for my good friend Peter B. Collins, who will be back on the 13th of August. Oh, by the way, Brad Friedman will be with us tomorrow, bradblog.com, one of the best sites, of course, the best site for election information, election fraud information. He's just a premier. I love him. We'll have him on tomorrow as well. Let's go back to Scott Dick, who is in Carmel Valley, that area on the Monterey Peninsula. Are you back with us?
I am indeed.
Okay. All right. See, the breaks come along. The news come. I get all involved in all these other stories. But, you know, I think we have a very dangerous world. We don't need a broken army. I'm not a pacifist. I'm a military brat. I just don't approve of how they're being used and misused in this situation. But, you know, it is a dangerous world. We do have enemies. We do have a potential in any given day to have some situation where we need a very strong United States Army, United States military to do the best job possible. And this is just gutting our military. I mean, I think it's absolutely true. What do we do? How do we get our military built back?
Well, it's going to cost, first of all, tens, if not 20, maybe hundreds of billions of dollars to get them back to where they were.
Yep.
The second part is, I don't know, Christina, if you've been following the AMRAAP story. That's the
Yes, I have.
Well, they just asked for $5 billion for those vehicles, and this lean, mean fighting force was the brainchild of Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, whoops, yes.
And it's we have troops we have tankers in Iraq and Afghanistan, especially Iraq, without their tanks, and we have infantrymen without their Bradleys, and so they put them in up armored Humvees, and now, 5 years into the war, 6 years into this conflict, they're ordering MRAPs who've been on the market since the 70s.
Yes, they've been around for a while. And this is, and for our listeners that don't know, the MRAP is a vehicle that has a V-shaped hull so that when you drive over an IED and it explodes, you're more likely to survive because the bottom of that MRAP is fortified, does a better job of protecting the inhabitants from being killed and maimed, et cetera.
Yeah, it splits the explosive explosion and has a way of deflecting it away from the occupant compartment. And so now in the modernization to make this leaner basically was what Rumsfeld had. His idea was make this easily deployable to the world's hotspots.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always had those guys, paratroopers, since, right after World War I.
Right.
So I don't know exactly what he was trying to do. And, in fact, his plan was never really put out there for public consumption and discussion, but what it looks like was a way to contract out a lot of the military functions.
And now, that's precisely what we see again and again and again in this endeavor in the Middle East right now, is that who's profiting, who's making a killing here, literally and figuratively, would be the military contractors and the corporate entities that do military contracting. So much of the job, I mean, I think I was appalled right in the earliest part of all this when I found, I went, this can't be true. I'm reading this thing, and it says, oh, yes, and the food services provided by Halliburton. Like, what? Why wouldn't you? I mean, we've always had, a detail of folks who do the cooking and the food stuff as part of our military. Why would you contract that out, spend 10, 15, 20 times as much for the same service? Well, actually, it wasn't the same service. They were giving them rotten food, stale water, I mean, all kinds of things. And why would we want to market that out to a private contractor? Well, maybe that private contractor is a contributor to somebody. I mean, that's what it turns out. That's an outrage.
It's a total racket. And I don't know if people in the historians know this or people that are not historians know this, but the famous New York mayor, LaGuardia.
Yes, Fiorello.
When he was first elected to Congress, he was in the House of Representatives. The first thing he did was introduce a bill that would make it a capital crime to provide tainted material to the military.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would a guy do that? He's a New York City guy. Well, he actually grew up out in the West. His father was a captain in the cavalry, and he died from tainted beef provided by a shoddy contractor.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long this crap has been going on.
And it'll keep going on. As long as they can get away with it, they will repeat the same stuff as long as the American people don't rise up and say, you've got to stop this.
Now, here's the irony in this. It's not humorous at all. You have the thinkers in the Department of Defense, headed by Rumsfeld, saying, and the Marine Corps, they had requests for MRAP vehicles in 2004,
mm-hmm.
March, a year after the war started,
mm-hmm.
and they were put aside for a couple reasons. They're saying is that, one, we didn't think we'd be in there that long. Two, it didn't really fit our idea of what our vehicles that we should provide for these combat units. It's a truck.
What?
And so what we have is this group of people thinking, well, we don't really need this now. We need something else in the future. We need a lighter, meaner force for some future conflict. But the war that they were fighting The war we're fighting was the war we're fighting right now. That's the war they had in their hands.
So these really are the forgotten soldiers, and you have to wonder how many of the fatalities and injuries to American military have come about because of IEDs and roadside bombs. I mean, isn't that the most common thing we hear? Another four soldiers killed, five soldiers killed, IEDs, roadside bombs. This is precisely because they don't have the MRAP. They're getting blown to smithereens in these Humvee vehicles.
And the deal was, they said, the letter from Congress, two Democrats, of course, said something like 746 could possibly have prevented deaths, not just injuries. There's a lot of other, you know, collateral damage to our troops if they're not killed outright, traumatic brain injury.
Progressive brain injury, the most common, which is an injury that just keeps on giving, you know?
It does indeed. And so the idea that we're going to fight, you know, notably, our generals have always been accused of training to fight the last war. And in this case, they would be denied equipment they needed because they were concentrating on fighting the next war. And it's just, it just shows people who haven't been in uniform. You know, our troops, it took an Army reservist to stand up to Rumsfeld and say, why are we scrounging armor from the dump?
And that was, and they said, oh, and then the media set up that soldier to ask, from the dumps in Kuwait, they were up-arming their vehicles from garbage they found in the dumps in Kuwait.
And they said, well, we can't get the kits, and yet nobody had ever asked for them. And when they did, the company said, yeah, we can like quadruple production if you just ask us to. And so it's just one lie. And remember, now, Christine, this is the administration that supports the troops, and they've been death on the Democrats because, you know, we'd rather talk about withdrawal than actually winning the battle there. And what did that idiot, I forgot his name, Bonner, said?
Boner, I call him.
Me too.
Yes.
He said, well, you know, if we... Maybe it was Trent Lott. We should, if we want to get this over, we should just let the troops win.
Yeah, we should take off all the handcuffs so they can, and let them just do what they need to do, like kill everybody in sight, and then we'll win. We're holding them back from doing what they really want to do.
And this is so post. This is so retro Vietnam. The body cams. Now, I just saw a briefing on the Pentagon Channel 2 days ago where he was talking about an operation, and they captured so many weapons, and they had so many pounds of equipment, and they had. And they killed like four insurgents. I said, this is like so the 5 o'clock follies in Saigon. This is such a Saigonish.
It's Saigonish plus because you've got all these contractors making bundles of money too.
I thought it was going. I had fallen back into the rat hole, not the rabbit hole, the rat hole, and gone back to where it's the first 10 minutes. That's what we talked about. All the progress we've made, he did it in terms of number of weapons captured, number of insurgents killed, and you know, terrain, which is not going to work because it's an insurgency.
It's a civil war, exactly.
It's a civil war.
Now, two of the Democratic candidates for the presidency, first of all, Hillary Clinton, today with a story, has warned that U.S. withdrawal from Iraq must not duplicate the arrogance and incompetence that she said marred the actual invasion. She was joined by John Kerry, introducing a bill requiring the Pentagon to keep Congress informed about contingency planning to safely withdraw 160,000 U.S. troops. The Bush administration says, the Bush administration is very mad at her. She's trying to release secrets to the enemy, et cetera. She says we must not redeploy out of Iraq with the same combination of arrogance and incompetence with which the Bush administration exhibited deploying into Iraq. She said, We did not have a smart plan to go in, but we will do everything in our power to be sure we have a smart plan to get out. In your mind, and not so much commenting on her saying that, because sort of everything now is political posturing, but is there a smart plan to get out? What would it be in your view?
Well, out of all operations, including a water crossing or a movement to contact, that's where you have to move forward because you don't really know where the enemy is and you're trying to make contact with the enemy in order to engage them in a fight.
Right.
Out of all of those doctrinal exercises, of course, the relief in place where one unit goes in and replaces another, those are very hard. The hardest one of all of them is guess which one?
Withdrawal.
Exactly. That's the most dangerous one. And we know you can look at historical example after historical example. When Napoleon started his withdrawal from Russia, he had 160 or 270,000 troops, and when he was done, he was down to like 12,000.
Good God.
So in all conflicts, the German withdrawal from Russia, it just over and over, it is the most difficult, the most dangerous. And let me tell you, you do not want to be the unit that is covering the withdrawal. Because all of those troops that were engaged by all of your friends now are released to focus on you.
So when Clinton says withdrawing troops from Iraq will be dangerous and difficult, she's not just whistling Dixie.
She is not whistling Dixie. She's got some good minds behind her, whoever they are, telling her, hey, this is the most dangerous thing you can do on a battlefield. And we've seen some precipitous withdrawals. I was on the evacuation of Saigon, and when what we heard on our boat was that our intelligence services had worked with the North Vietnamese, that we had made an agreement. We would not send troops in to secure the embassy if they wouldn't attack us at the embassy. So we made a sweetheart deal with them, or it could have been a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not going to be, I don't think we're going to make a sweetheart deal, maybe with Al-Sistani, to get us out of there. And maybe that's when they'll throw the rice and the rose water when we're actually leaving.
The chocolates and the flowers, etc.
Exactly. So this is not a fun thing to be on, and it's going to be, you know, you can see the Vietnam era.
You can imagine, you picture the Marine, you picture the helicopter, you see the enemy approaching just as they lift off just in time. You can see that happening again, and maybe even not so successfully.
And I was on the boat lift. And we personally, on the USS Denver, put 8,000 Vietnamese on that boat.
Mm-hmm.
The boat lift out of Iraq is going to follow us. Those are the people that are going to follow us home, the people that we worked with.
That's right, who are depending on us to support them.
The Vietnam guys, like Kane and his ilk, they don't want to go through this again. They want to win. The problem is, there's no enemy to win against. You could kill every insurgent. I keep saying this. You could kill every insurgent in Iraq. And as long as there's a book on the shelf that describes the use of explosive and assassinations as a way to make a political point, they'll pick it up again in 8 or 10 years. And remember, McKinley was killed by an anarchist. He was using terror.
Mm-hmm.
So Odom said, Bush saying this is a war on terror is like saying that we're going to make war on the night attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's insanity at the highest level. It's incredible.
Can you stay with us for a few more minutes?
You bet.
Please say yes, because we come back. I want to ask you about something that Barack Obama said the other day.
Okay.
Okay, we will do that. We will be back with Scott Dick, who is the military expert who is on Peter B. Collins' show every week. He's speaking to us from the Monterey Peninsula. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. Our website, www.1240.com. TalkCity.com. We're not taking any calls the rest of this hour, but just jot this down. Our local number is 766-1240 or toll-free from absolutely anywhere, 877-766-1240. Hang with us. We'll be back with Scott Dick right after these messages.
And when you're out there, without care, yeah, I was out of touch.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way Carmel's only bookstore and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at traffic. And, you know, since we last spoke, not a lot to report on, except we have one new problem. It's Prunedale-San Miguel Canyon at Morro Road, a two-vehicle crash being reported there. Now, what I can tell you is that CHP is on the way to the scene. And a reminder, in Monterey at Laguna Seca today, that the annual Spirit West Coast Christian Music Festival runs day through Saturday, August 4th. Incidentally, my birthday, by the way. There will be activities, and in fact, the event runs from 10 a.m. to midnight. And by the way, Highway 17, no problems to report. Join Domino's Great Pizza Debate and choose your favorite pizza, a large one-topping Brooklyn-style pizza, or a medium Philly cheesesteak pizza for just $9.99. Get the door. It's Domino's. That's traffic on KRXA.
Weeknight from 6 to 9 p.m., as well as all the other great programming on Sacramento's only progressive talk station, 1240 Talk City, KSAC.
Christine Kraft, and you're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. You want to send me an email, it's Christine at 1240talkcity.com, Christine at 1240talkcity.com. We're talking to Scott Dick on the Monterey Peninsula. He is Peter B. Collins' military expert. He talks with Peter every week about these issues. You still with us, Scott?
I am indeed.
Okay, here's the thing. Barack Obama is quoted today as saying that he would not use nuclear weapons, quote, in any circumstance. He says, I think it would be a profound mistake for us to use nuclear weapons in any circumstance. Then he paused, and then he says, involving civilians. Then he quickly added, let me scratch that. There's been no discussion of nuclear weapons. That's not on the table. He went on to warn that if the president of Pakistan, Pervez Musharraf, should know that he, Barack Obama, would use U.S. military force in Pakistan, even without Musharraf's permission, if necessary, to root out terrorists. However, when asked by the Associated Press, as Barack Obama, after breakfast with constituents, whether there was any circumstance where he would be prepared to or willing to use nuclear weapons to defeat terrorism and al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden, Obama replied, there's been no discussion of using nuclear weapons, and that's not a hypothetical that I'm going to discuss, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that most, and this sort of brings about the idea of Osama bin Laden, who is, I mean, how many years now has it been? We still don't have him. Do you think most soldiers over there are wondering why haven't we captured Osama bin Laden, who's, we're told again and again, is responsible for all of our terror woes?
Well, no.
No. And why not?
Because the Bush administration has had plenty of photo ops, like his speech he gave in Charleston, South Carolina last week. I think it was maybe July 24th, where he said again that the al-Qaeda in Iraq, he left and came to Iraq in 2000 and set up shop there. So he's still conflating al-Qaeda and the attack on 911 with Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So we know who the criminal is, and the person that Bush said, dead or alive, he's completely blown that off.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going after the Saudis, and you know, we don't hear anything about the Saudi Arabians being, what were there, 11, 9 or 10 out of the 11 were Saudi Arabians?
Yes.
And so the whole idea.
And then the Saudis are also funding and fueling and giving weapons to the Sunnis in Iraq.
And we're going to
all we can talk about is say, oh, look, Iran, they're helping the Shia, without mentioning the other part of this relationship.
And now we're going to punish them by selling them $30 billion worth or $20 billion worth of high-grade, high-tech weapons.
Yes.
That's,
which,
you know, just spank me, Christine.
So when you look at the people who are running for president, all of them, Republicans, Democrats, include Ron Paul and that, all of that, do you find anybody that, as somebody who supports the military and is an expert on these things, bodes well for not only this country, but for our military?
Well, the military, this is one of the fallacies of the Republican talking points, the rogue strategy is very effective, is to tell the American people that security, if it left in the hands of Democrats, will weaken us. How? It's still the same FBI, the still same CIA, still NSA, still the same military. What do they think that we wouldn't do except unnecessarily invade a third country that never attacked us? Maybe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we see now that, in hindsight, it hasn't made us stronger. It's made us more vulnerable and created a whole new class of super terrorists who've been trained and who are battle-hardened.
And, see, I always think when I hear any of my colleagues in the radio business say, well, we're fighting them there, so we don't have to fight them here. Excuse me. Seems to me that if, and they'll and say in the next breath, and it's inevitable there will be an attack, another terrorist attack on this country, probably nuclear, probably three of them in a row, et cetera. One of my colleagues, Bill Wattenberg, is always saying that. And I want to say, well, then, wouldn't the smart thing to do be to bring troops home and let's figure out a way, let's make some adjustments to law, et cetera. Let's protect this country. Let's harden the targets. Let's do all of that.
Well, one of the great things about this country is we've been so open and we've fallen to this, that we've basically fallen into the terrorist trap to make us more afraid, to make us more inky, to increase more barriers, to make us more unwelcome in the whole rest of the world. The way to deal with a terrorist is to kill him.
Yep.
Find him and kill him. I'm sorry. I'm a soldier.
Right.
Kill him. Find Osama bin Laden. I don't care what it takes. If it takes $100 billion, it's still cheaper than fighting an unnecessary war.
And unnecessary war, which creates more animosities and creates more enemies for us. We would have great respect in the world if we were to target the individual whom we're told is directly responsible for the 9/11 attacks and take that person out, period.
You know, and it's okay. Make it so that there's some acceptable, some acceptable terrorist attacks and some aren't. When you attack the United States, we're going to find you and kill you. We're
period.
Not going to dance around in some other place. We're going to find
yes.
you and hurt you.
And I think that's what motivated the Tillman brothers to go and join the military, because they thought exactly that.
And because it's common sense.
Yeah.
It's, you know, two guys rob a bank. We don't run into the grocery store and start shooting up the tellers
that's
and the
right.
you know the people in there.
Go after the bank robbers.
So, nuclear weapons, there's all sorts of, I don't have any classified knowledge, so I'm not afraid of exposing myself, but there's all sorts of sizes and delivery methods for nuclear weapons. So, you know, somebody is giving them secret briefings, and this probably fell out at that.
Yeah.
You know, so,
and
okay.
that's why he paused and tried to correct himself.
And that's always a problem, because if you have classified material and you read something out on the street, you always get it confused, like, where did I hear that? Did I read it in the paper, or did I get it from a briefing? And then you're
yeah.
screwed because you can't talk about it.
Exactly.
So, you know, the solution is to get out of Iraq, build up some forces, re-equip, rearm, and then really turn the dogs loose.
The dogs owe war after the true miscreants here.
And we have a problem in Pakistan. You know, we've always supported the dictator in Pakistan or the strong man. And,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say. This is going to be a tough one. But if I was sitting in a chair and they said, you know, your target is here and it's in Pakistan or in Kazakhstan or in Georgia, I mean, in the ex-Republic of Germany, of
not
Russia.
Not Atlanta.
Or in Russia or in, you know, Sicily, I'm going to take them out.
Yep.
And then deal with the country that if I take out somebody, a third world national in a place like Italy, I'm going to go to the Italians hat in hand and say, I did this and I think it made it safer. And it's going to be all on the level of these international intelligence agency cooperation. They do cooperate. They're there. They know what's going on. They're not stupid. And, you know, it just reminds me, Christine, of when they deployed the Pershing 2 missiles to Germany, there were demonstrations. The German government said, blah, 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 we don't want those weapons in our country. You already have enough nukes. But that was for domestic consumption.
Right.
Historical research has shown that they all said, yeah, bring them in, no problem.
Yeah.
We're going to make a stink, but we have to. And they said, look, no, that's we deal with this all the time. Okay, cool. Make a stink. It didn't harm our relations whatsoever.
Well, listen, will you be on with us again next week?
If you'd like.
As I fill in for PB, I absolutely would love it. And we will talk to you same time, same station and group of stations next Thursday right here. Thank you so much, Scott.
You're welcome, Christine.
Looking forward to it. You bet.
Take care.
You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. When we come back, do the homeless have rights? You bet they do. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Dallas.
And I'm Ashley.
We would like to invite you to Malibu by the Sea in Monterey.
A bold new full-service salon and bronzing spa.
We specialize in color, multi-dimensional highlights, trendy cuts, and the highest quality human hair extensions.
We'd love to help you with your new look, so give us a call at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia and Bruno's Markets Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, Grove Market, PG, Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets, Santa Cruz, and Star Market, Salinas. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The death toll in Minneapolis might not be as high as feared. Authorities now say there are 8 people missing, not the 20 or 30 reported earlier. There are 4 confirmed fatalities in last night's bridge collapse, but some victims' bodies are still trapped underwater. The search is slow going, says Jeff Storm of the Sheriff's Department dive team.
Trying to bring divers into a debris field like this, it's extremely difficult because the divers will tend to get caught up in the debris, the cement pieces that are from the decking of the collapsed bridge.
To help the divers, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty says the Army Corps of Engineers is trying to weaken the currents in the Mississippi.
They have been trying to slow down the river. At one point, the slowdown of the river was occurring too rapidly, and it started to create a suction back towards the dam, so that had to be recalibrated.
The Federal Transportation Department is urging all states with similar bridges to inspect them immediately. In 2004, nearly 13% of the nation's bridges were deemed structurally deficient. That's the term used for the Interstate 35W bridge in its last inspection. Mark Rosinger, chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, is in Minneapolis.
We are making progress here today, even though we've only been here a total of about 12 hours.
John Lauritsen of CBS television station WCCO says has the story of one missing woman and her anxious family.
She indicated to Jessica, my daughter, that she would be leaving in a few minutes and coming home.
Ron Ingebrigtsen's wife, Sherry, had been avoiding the 35W construction all summer. But for some reason, Wednesday night, Sherry chose to take 35W home. Before she left work, she called her daughter, Jessica, to talk about her day. That was the last time anyone heard from her.
She's a fighter. My wife's a fighter. And she will do everything she can to work herself out of a situation.
For now, all Ron Ingebrigtsen can do is hope and wait for any news about his wife.
U.S. Capitol Police reportedly have stepped up security because of a possible terrorist threat. The congressional newspaper Roll Call says intelligence suggests an increased possibility of an al-Qaeda attack sometime between now and September 11th. The FBI says this is being done out of an abundance of caution. There's no credible specific threat. The F-14 Tomcat fighter is obsolete as far as the U.S. Navy is concerned, but others would dearly like to get their hands on them, and CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv says that could be a problem.
The U.S. military's been destroying F-14s, and 2 million spare parts were removed from a website selling Pentagon surplus, but investigators for Congress report that by mistake, around 1,400 parts for F-14s were sold as surplus 6 months ago. Buyers not yet identified, but the Government Accountability Office adds there's only one country still flying F-14 Tomcat jets, that's Iran.
The Dow gained 100 points today, closing at 13,463. The Nasdaq up 22 points to 2575. This is CBS News.
Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. You'll never pay too much because Office Depot guarantees their low prices. Plus, Office Depot will give 5% back in credits to your child's school for all your qualifying school supply purchases. That's 5% teachers can use for classroom supplies. So not only will you find everything you need at guaranteed low prices, you'll also help your local school. Office Depot, taking care of business and back to school. See store for details.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it during the August Savings Event at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From August 2nd through the 6th, save 25% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save $8 a gallon on Duration coatings and 25% on select wall coverings, too. Hurry, sale ends Monday, August 6th, for painting and decorating.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Insurance companies scored a win today in the legal battle over Hurricane Katrina claims. WWL Radio's Dave Cohen reports from New Orleans.
The U.S. Supreme Court is now likely to decide if homeowners insurance should cover water damage from hurricane-related storm surge. A federal appeals court today has ruled against Louisiana Katrina victims who said their homeowners' policies should have covered flooding caused by levee breaches. It all comes down to the debate about whether or not this is flooding as defined by flood insurance or wind-driven water that should be covered by homeowners' insurance. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Mattel today issued an apology to customers who bought the Fisher-Price toys being recalled. The paint on nearly a million plastic toys for preschoolers has unacceptably high lead content. The toys were made in China. Immediately before the Fisher-Price announcement, a Chinese official said his country attaches great importance to product quality and will work to improve. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it during the August Savings Event at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From August 2nd through the 6th, save 25% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save $8 a gallon on Duration coatings and 25% on select wall coverings, too. Hurry, sale ends Monday, August 6th for painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Every one must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR on select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
There we go. Welcome, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. Also, all of Peter B. Collins' excellent network of radio stations, which include Portland, Oregon, Coos Bay, Oregon, Monterey, California, Eureka, California. I am your host while Peter is off on some crazy job. No, he'll tell you all about it when he gets back on August 13th. And we have got legal firepower in this radio station right now. Looking out in the green room, Tony Serra is here, a notorious and fabulous, very famous lawyer. And Mark Maron, also a civil rights lawyer par excellence here in Sacramento. And I went to law school, too, and I passed the bar. I don't do much. But anyway, we have got legal firepower here. And Paula Lumazzi is with us as well, and she's an advocate for the homeless. Mark, you are on the front page, the big story today that caught my attention, the Sacramento Bee. You have filed a lawsuit in the United States District Court, the Eastern District of California, just right up the street here, representing homeless people. You know, I mean, they must be paying you a whole lot of money to do this, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to retire off of what I make on this one.
Why are you representing homeless people? What's the issue?
Well, you can't escape the views of the homeless in Sacramento, not just downtown or in your neighborhoods, but if you go to the river, you see them there. It's just it's a constant, and that's an indictment of the way our society deals with the allocation of resources. But what is so offensive, frankly, is when you take somebody who's down and out and you kick them.
Kick them again. Kick them harder.
Kick them again. Kick them harder. Instead of giving them a hand up and helping them find a place where they can get a night's sleep and get a shower. Instead, what you do is roust them out of the place where they found a lay their head, whether it's in the bushes somewhere or on a public sidewalk, and deprive them of that opportunity to sleep. Now, that is just contrary to our Constitution. It's contrary to human rights.
Are you suggesting that homeless people who perhaps don't pay property taxes actually have civil rights?
Well, if they don't have civil rights, then none of us do.
That's right.
But the thing that is really so offensive is that these people, the homeless persons in our city and county, have no place else to go. They are full up on the shelters. They max out on the time you can spend in a shelter, and then they're out on the street. Maybe it's only for the 3 days they have to wait, or the 7 days, or the 2 weeks between opportunities to find a bed. But in those weeks, where are they supposed to go?
Are they supposed to just vaporize? You'd wonder. And I'll tell you what really got me. This was when the boob and grabber, which I call our governor, was being inaugurated, when the booby grabber was inaugurated over here at Memorial Auditorium. And, of course, many of the homeless people walk past there in that area on the sidewalks. And law enforcement, the sheriff's department, and others, there are many times when law enforcement does great work. It's they don't want to malign everybody. But when they send these little squads out to go along the riverbanks and roust the homeless, and they rousted them right before the boob and grabber's inauguration just so things would look pretty for all those out-of-town cameras visiting. I was outraged by that. And they don't just say, move along, which would be bad enough. But they'll go and do these raids in the middle of the night or early in the morning, like 5 a.m. or something, when somebody's just waking up. If they have animals, maybe the person has a dog and that's their true companion. The animal protects them and is their companion. They'll take those animals off to animal control where they're killed. The homeless person can't raise the money to bail them out and pay the licensing fees and all this nonsense. And they will take their they'll take all their stuff. If you have what are you supposed to sleep on, huh? They'll take their sleeping bags, they'll take their prescriptions, they'll take their whatever they can. And this is exactly what they do.
That's exactly
what's
happening,
Christine.
You can't get it back. Not only do they take the shopping cart and the duffel bag and the sleeping bag and just throw that away, saying that it's just trash, but they take their life's possessions, which may be photographs, may be their identity cards, maybe whatever they could possibly use that would entitle them to get something somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so difficult for a homeless person who doesn't have transportation, doesn't necessarily have the skills to deal with the bureaucracy, to get copies of things. Have you ever tried to get your own copy of a birth certificate?
Damned hard.
It's very hard.
That's right. Can you imagine if you are, say, you didn't have a house, you didn't have a telephone, you didn't have no car, maybe not even any shoes. How is anybody even going to pay you any attention? You walk into the office to get some help, they're going to get you right out of there, too.
One of our plaintiffs, in fact, is a gentleman who was born and raised in this country but doesn't have any identification. And he cannot even prove he's a citizen. Therefore, he can't even prove he's entitled to the various things he is entitled to.
Are you arguing, counselor, that he exists?
Oh, you know, the homeless exist, and that's a big problem for us. Because we have to face it, and we have to realize that it costs so much more to treat homeless the way we're presently doing it, which is to sweep them off the street, to arrest them, to cite them, to confiscate their stuff, and to put them in jails, than it would just to deal with them in a compassionate way by providing some kind of temporary housing or emergency housing or shelter and give them the resources.
At the very least, not taking away their possessions, not taking away their stuff.
Exactly.
And go ahead.
So I was just going to say, the reason we filed this lawsuit is that we have to find another way to solve this problem. It doesn't help to criminalize the homeless. What it does help to do is redirect resources to a way, to a place, and into avenues where their needs can be addressed.
Now, Paula is an advocate for the homeless. She's seen this up close and personal. Paula, when we read in the story today about how the plaintiffs in this lawsuit are saying, you know, they take all of our stuff, my prescriptions, my eye, whatever, and it's all taken off. It's just junk. It's just junk to those. Is that really true, or is that a little bit of exaggeration? Give me a little life story here.
No, not at all. That happens all the time. People come into our office all the time, different people, you know, complaining about having their things stolen. And it's really hard to get any of that, their possessions back. And it's just like, they don't own that much. I mean, you just figure what you have in one of your closets isn't as much as they have, and it's taken from them. And there was a time when I think maybe the Rangers tried to store their stuff right, but they haven't been doing that lately. I don't know what's going on there, but they used to do a little bit of that, you know, storing their things when they took it. So.
And there was a comment from Ms. Tykert, what is her job?
City attorney.
City attorney Eileen, is it the first
yes.
name? Tykert saying, oh, she was appalled, and I'm paraphrasing here, shocked and appalled. She had no idea this kind of thing was going on. And do you think, Paula, and do you think, Mark, as well, that she probably knew or should have known those things? Or you know, maybe not mention her specifically. She's saying she had no idea. I think the city attorney ought to open up her eyes and, you know, maybe get some new glasses, get the wax out of her ears, and take a look at what's going on in her own community.
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity to educate the community, too, with this lawsuit and open people's eyes and learn the truth, because maybe some people don't know anything.
Well, they sure should know. And you want, you're seeking class action designation for a whole class of plaintiffs, would be all the homeless people who have this happen to them.
That's right. At the last homeless count, and we know this is not accurate or complete, they counted on one night over 2,400 people who were homeless in Sacramento at that time. And over 1,000 of those who were counted were sleeping on the streets. Now, that is not an accurate count, however. Some estimates that the city and county have jointly made.
But Gingerbread Rutland from the Bee went out. She was counting, too, remember? She went out.
A lot of people went out to count, to help count. But the actual estimates are about 11,000 people homeless during the year. In other words, at some point during the year, there will be 11,000 people who are actually on the streets without a home. And that is a very significant number, and it just has to be dealt with.
Now, what do you have to get class designation, though? What is the federal standard for designating a group of plaintiffs as a class action in a class action suit?
Well, they have to have a common question of law and fact. It has to dominate in the issue, in the case. And here, of course, the common question is, are the statutes, are the ordinances and code sections under which these people are being rousted out constitutional? That's a sort of a big requirement.
Unreasonable search and seizure.
Well, search and seizure, it's the deprivation of the Eighth Amendment, the prohibition of cruel and unusual punishment. Because if you can't be permitted to sleep, that's a deprivation of a basic human right. And that has been held in this district, the Eastern District of California, in federal court by Judge Wenger, who's down in Fresno and granted class action status to a similar case on the homeless just recently. Requirement is that you show that there are a number of people. There have to be a certain number in excess of 25, 30, 40 people who are in the class similarly affected.
You got that.
We have thousands.
See, I'm acting as the federal judge. Well, let's see, you got the first one, you got the second one. What's the next
one? So you have commonality of interest. Mm-hmm. That is, the people have to be aligned in their interests.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the basic requirements. And it has to be more efficient to deal with the group and the problems raised
than to bring each individual case up.
Exactly. Now, I think Paula made to me a very good comment earlier, and that was that in one case where a homeless man contested his arrest and ticketing for illegal camping and went to trial and was acquitted, was found not guilty by a jury of his peers, the county, in attempting to prosecute him, spent $200,000 on that one case.
So there's a good argument that it's much better to deal with a whole class of individuals as opposed to, you know, saying that as an example of how much it would cost to deal with each individual
exactly.
if they were to come forward. So I've just granted you class status, see? Isn't that easy?
Oh, I love it, Christina.
Now, the other side's going to argue that it isn't a class action kind of situation.
Well, they're going to try to throw out the case even before it gets to that. They're going to claim that there are no constitutional rights here that have been violated, the Eighth Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the 14th Amendment that guarantees equal protection of the laws. None of those things has been violated, and they're going to try to get a judge to rule in their favor right off the line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have a chance of succeeding because in our district, very similar cases have already been decided for the homeless.
Hold the thought, because we're going to come back and get some more of this. We need to take a little time. This is radio. You know, it's like the courtroom. We have to take a little,
sure, absolutely.
Little bench bar kind of discussion. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, as well as all of Peter B. Collins' excellent radio stations. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
To change the world, started with one step.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
Oceans 18. Finally, a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this black light golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium and the American Tin Cannery. Oceans 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Oceans 18 opens at 12, stays open late every day. Oceans 18 Miniature Golf.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773. Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
All right, a little traffic to tell you about. Let's get to it. Starting off with a problem in Aptos. It is located on Southbound 1, just before Soquel. And it is a fender bender on the right-hand shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this one, and CHP is on scene. Seaside, northbound 1 after Fort Ord, the main gate. We have a large pile of boxes in both lanes. We're going to tell you about that. Monterey, of course, Laguna Seca, the annual Spirit West Coast Christian Music Festival that runs day through August 4th, and that would be Saturday. It runs from 10 a.m. to midnight, so if you're getting going out there, be advised, some heavy traffic there. Well, even when it's raining, you can keep on the sunny side, because whenever you travel, there's a Days Inn Hotel nearby where the sunny smiles and value will warm up your heart. Book now at daysin.com. That is traffic on KRXA.
Calls and have the latest news Friday on the edge.
Can we do that? I'd like to do that, too, while we're at it. But we are talking now with Mark Maron. I'm Christine Kraft on KSAC 1240 AM. Our website, www.1240talkcity.com. Our phone number, toll-free from anywhere, 877-766-1240. Civil rights attorney Mark Maron, very prominent here in Sacramento for fighting the good fight for people who need representation. Also with me is Paula Lamazzi. She is an advocate for the homeless. And we got some callers. We got some calls on you, Ricky. You want to talk to some other people? Let's do that. Let's talk to Laird on line two. Hey, Laird, you are on Talk City. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
A couple of things about the homeless. First of all, the issue was just raised about property taxes. But the fact is that you cannot not pay taxes, especially in the state of California. And ironically, some of the biggest taxed items are alcohol and cigarettes, which, of course, are associated to the homeless. Secondly, a great portion of these people are actually mental cases of some sort. And really, our society has never come to terms with that. We have a tendency to just shuffle them around or disregard them.
But they're somehow less than human because they might have an alcohol or drug problem.
Right, exactly. And again, you know, they pay taxes. But that's anyway.
So, Mark, when you hear arguments, well, you know, the whole question, sort of the concept that homeless people have civil rights just like anybody else, you're going to have to bring plaintiffs into court that might not be, quote, the prettiest plaintiffs around. What do you do about that, if anything?
Well, we met in Friendship Park today where we had a press conference at 11 o'clock, and there were hundreds of homeless persons there asking very intelligent questions. And, you know, some of them are not able to get as clean as they would like or as other people might think they should.
Somebody stole their glasses and their kit for getting cleaned up, maybe.
Right. And it's true that since the community care centers were closed down and mental health services have been harder to get, you find more people on the streets who do need mental health assistance. And the problem is they can't get it. So as we've had a diminution, let's say, or reduction in services available, then there's been an increase, let's say, in mentally ill people who are on the streets. That goes without saying. As far as the tax burden, I'd say we're taxed and we're burdened much more by having to support a law enforcement bureaucracy and jails to house the homeless when it would be a lot cheaper to provide housing for them.
In fact, we have a next week there's a demonstration. A housing group is very upset with the county of Sacramento. Here's what always happens. In my experience in the news business and doing talk as well, I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Some developer comes into town. They say, oh, please give us tax incentives or give us the permission to build this or that. And we promise we'll build a certain component, will be affordable or housing for the poor, et cetera. And then it comes to the last few months or year of that project and say, oh, gee, we're so sorry, but we're way over budget. And if you'll just let us, give us the permission to not build the affordable component or the low-cost housing, you know, that's so difficult anyway. And inevitably, time and time and time again, the politicians will give lip service to, oh, yes, we insist that there be some affordable component or some component for very poor people, et cetera, to qualify to get a leg up. They will say, okay, developer, we appreciate your plight. You don't have to build that pesky, that irksome affordable housing. And you're seeing it happen right now. In fact, there's going to be a big demonstration on the 8th of August on that very issue.
Well, you're so right, Christine, but affordable housing is really not affordable for the homeless.
Right.
What you need is transitional housing. You need shelter beds. You need the kind of housing that can be purchased for $5, $6, $8, $10 a night for people.
Right.
That's what you need to start them off on the road to self-sufficiency.
I agree. Let's take another call. Let's go to Torrance, who's not in Torrance, but in Sacramento on line one. Yes. Hi,
Hello.
Torrance. Hi there.
Hello, Christine and Mark. How are you guys doing?
Fine.
We're well.
Good, good. Hey, I was calling to make a couple of remarks.
That's what people usually do when they call a talk show.
Well, you know, right, I haven't called in a while. I used to be an HIV/AIDS homeless case manager for a nonprofit here in Sacramento, and I actually went out and found HIV-positive homeless people and got them into services, their own housing, et cetera,
You got about 40 seconds to get to your question.
Okay, well, in 2003, I addressed the County Board of Supervisors that we haven't been in touch or in compliance with the master bill plan that you guys were just talking about. And so I sent in a program proposal that would end the homeless, reduce poverty, and create living wage jobs to like 50, 60 senators and the president. And the only person that called me back was Senator Feinstein and the mayor from Columbus, Ohio. The White House sent me a letter stating that...
Did you have a question about it?
Well, no,
about this lawsuit?
No, it's not a question about the lawsuit, but even with a class action lawsuit, I hope that you guys put in some type of situation to where there's money set aside for grants or et cetera.
We're pretty much out of time. Thank you very much, Torrance. What relief are you seeking quickly, Mark?
Well, first of all, we want to cease. We want to enjoin the sweeps of the homeless people.
Excellent.
And we want to get resources directed into programs that will house the homeless.
Great. I want you to promise me, not just this one visit, but down the line, important milestones in this case, you will come back and talk to us.
I'd love to.
Thank you very much, Mark Maron. Thank you very much, Paula. Excellent. Keep up your good work. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC. Stay with us.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
I like the way you cross the street, cousin.
Fresh.
That's it.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft, and you are listening to, yes, especially if you're over at the federal courthouse and you're one of the U.S. attorneys or anybody who's interested in our next topic, please listen. I don't hide anything. It's all out there in the public, and I've got some wonderful guests. Not only do we have Dr. Molly Fry.
Hello.
And Dale Schaefer.
Hello.
And they are being tried for manufacturing marijuana for six sick people. Molly Fry is a physician. But we also have their attorney here today, or Molly's attorney.
No, my attorney.
Your attorney, Dale's attorney. And I am just so delighted to meet you. You're like one of my heroes. I went to law school because of people like you, Tony Sarah.
Well, I've been around for a while.
Yes,
and
you
I'm
have.
Delighted to be here. And I feel great respect for the clients, Dale and Molly. It's a real privilege to represent them.
So you had opening statements today in federal court.
We had, the weather was hot, it was hot in court. We
yeah.
had opening from prosecution. Mr. Lichter and I gave our opening,
mm-hmm.
and we were introduced, let's say, to the flavor of their case
mm-hmm.
by what I perceive as a perjurious snitch. That is someone who got great favor from the government, who's been testifying based on what I know of the case
mm-hmm.
in a very devious, false manner. So for about an hour, I got to cross him. And
you're not finished yet, though, are you?
Emotions were running high.
Yeah.
The judge said, Mr. Sarah, you'll have to lower your decibels. You're screaming at the witness or words to that effect. So, you know, from the defense perspective, and there's a lot of people in court who are on our side of the medical marijuana issue.
Right.
Of, you know, in essence, going after a doctor and a lawyer and seeking to criminalize their activities. So we have a lot of strong followers. So we left, I think, in a state of high emotions today.
Now, the opening statement for the prosecution, did anything about their opening statement in the beginning of this case surprise you? Did you pretty much expect what they said, or was there anything in there that you want to talk about that you felt was something you didn't expect?
No, I think actually it was less insightful than I expected.
I don't know. I was pretty upset they kept calling me a drug dealer since I've been a doctor all my life and could have built drugs my whole life.
Well, you remember I objected.
So yes. Why she went to medical school was to be a drug dealer, you said.
A young prosecutor gets up, I think it's probably his first opening, turns with his finger and points at Molly.
That woman.
A drug dealer. And remember, I objected. I said, yeah. This is argumentative. This isn't an opening.
This is not a closing argument. This is an opening statement.
But
we will prove so.
He's vertically challenged.
The emotions are running, I think, strong on both sides in this case.
And, of course, the key is here, a lot of things. Do you think most of the people, I mean, how do you know? I mean, it wasn't one of the voir dire questions about, are you aware of Prop 215, in which the voters of this state of California said, we want doctors, physicians in our state to be able to provide right prescriptions for and provide marijuana for medical use for patients. Were the jurors asked if they knew about that, or are they supposed to know about it?
I asked them directly, and this is a panel, you know, that at that point comprised 32
yeah.
potential jurors, and I think all but one, in essence, said that they didn't know anything about Prop 215. Then I went to the next.
Now, hold on a minute, Tony. These are people, you pick your jury pool, supposedly, from people who are on voter registration
lists.
Right, lady says, the one that said she knew, she goes, wait a minute, aren't you all voters? You got to know about this.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but this is a case that's expected to go on for about a month. Yeah, you think?
Well, we only do 3.5 days a week.
Per week, so we'll
that's
take a little
why.
Bit longer. Okay, so we will not have you every single day, but no. Those days that you are in trial, certainly. But there's some pretty serious stuff on the line here. Is it true? I read something about a plea deal was offered in which Dale would have to go to federal prison for 5 months, and Molly would have to give up practicing medicine for, what, 5 years or forever?
No, forever.
Forever. Oh, that's wonderful. So,
but Dale's offer wasn't that concrete. I think they wanted to argue for more than a year in custody, and we had the opportunity to argue for lower.
Do you ever wonder, in a case like this, you know, a doctor who's prescribing medicine for their patients. I mean, the federal government keeps saying, well, there's no proof that this is any has any effectiveness. And yet there have been just recently, University of California, a study about pain relief, a peer-reviewed science, say, yes, there is value for medicinal purposes. There's no question about this. You sometimes feel that the federal government is in a different century or something.
They still believe that the earth is flat. They are either ignorant, but I don't think so.
I think so.
It's called willful deceit. They cannot admit that marijuana is efficacious as medicine because it is a chink in their armor. They need, you know, to prosecute. They need the
resources.
But
there's so much else to prosecute. You've got all these meth dealers. We're in the heartland of methamphetamine. You've got methamphetamine, which makes people... I mean, it's dangerous. You can blow up a building or kill kids, and the chemicals that are very toxic and hazardous. One can certainly make an argument that if you want to go after a drug thing, I don't even think of marijuana as a drug, but drug violators, there are plenty of malfeasance out there for the federal government to go after. I guess it's more dangerous to go after truly dangerous people than it is to go after sick people who can't fight back.
Well,
makes me crazy, Tony.
It's chicken hawks going after chicks. You see, marijuana people, as a generalization, are nonviolent people.
They eat a lot of Doritos.
They're more aesthetic. They're more spiritual. They're more wholesome. They're like, you know.
I with my research, too.
Yes. They are of a segment that is, for the most part, against oppressive government.
Mm-hmm.
They are a segment of society who value their constitutional rights, and I think that is one of the reasons they get targeted by an administration that is, you know, notably, I'm talking about the Bush administration, the U.S. attorneys under them, the most corrupt in the history of the country.
Absolutely. So we would want our federal prosecutors to do good work in protecting the population, but this is not an example of how to do it. And I understand that the judge may be a little curious about this radio program because he knows that Molly and Dale have been on for years now talking about this, literally more than a year.
Yeah, and now Ann Ping says we're going to be on every single day, and so they were specifically admonished not to listen to the radio.
And we don't want the jury. The jury should listen to the judge on that issue, not listening to, I mean, any juror, I mean,
yeah,
really
no,
should.
No TV, no nothing.
No, I think we all understand that. We are not reaching out to any juror. We are reaching out to the public so that they are aware of what I'm calling, you know, a very, very sadistic prosecution.
It's like a witch hunt.
It's a witch hunt. When they first started going after medical marijuana, they were doing it by injunction, by civil injunction. They weren't putting people in for mandatory fives and mandatory tens. They just raided. The feds raided Bakersfield Dispensary. The top two are charged with continuing criminal enterprise, mandatory minimum 20 years. They are vicious. They are vindictive. They are cruel.
But look, there have been some very famous conservatives, Tony. You know about George Shultz and a few others who have said a true conservative would say that's a personal choice for someone to make, and not just for medicinal marijuana, but for the use of marijuana. This whole culture is pro-alcohol, pro-prescription drugs. It can get you into a whole world of addiction and terrible problems and hideous health risks. Marijuana has never been shown to kill anybody or harm anybody. It's true that it's not something you should take and go drive around with. The laws would apply. You'd be driving while intoxicated. But we're talking about sick people for whom some marijuana, and not even necessarily smoked, maybe they take it in some kind of inhaler or tincture, or for bad arthritis pain. You want to tell me that some federal judge up there or some U.S. Attorney or prosecutor, if they had terrible, debilitating illness, bad arthritis, and maybe they couldn't pick up that sheath of paper with their opening statement printed out in large letters and bring it into court, couldn't even grab onto that paper unless they took some marijuana, sautéed it in a little oil, poured off the oil, and then applied that, and then it made them capable of doing their job. You mean to tell me those people don't want those rights? I don't believe that for a second.
We will prevail. That is, the Scopes trial, remember, posed a similar issue, and ultimately enlightenment will occur. But right now we're in a very rigorous fight, you know, for medical marijuana because the government opposes it so stringently.
And I want to make it very clear on these airways, if you're listening over there at the federal courthouse, on this program, I'm also a lawyer. I would never tell anyone to disobey a judge. But I think that's an entire, nor did I say that, nor did anyone say that on this radio station, okay? Got it? You want me to say it again? Never said it, never would say it. I'm a lawyer. I understand that. But I also know there is something called jury nullification. And if you have a situation where common sense tells you that the state of California and the people of California on a state's rights issue, I know the Supreme Court says it is a fungible commodity. It can cross state lines. In this case, it didn't. Okay, your Commerce Clause does not come into play. And you know what? You know it. There is a thing called jury nullification in which if you're a juror and you've seen this madness, maybe you've had, and in any situation, not necessarily this case, but in any situation, and you see that the federal law is really overstepping its bounds here, that it is counterintuitive to good common sense and good compassionate sense, you can, even if you find any defendants, not particularly these, but any, may meet the statutory requirement for violating the federal law, you can say, in any event, not guilty, because this has got to stop. We have got to bring common sense back to this country and get the federal courts to do appropriate jobs. There's plenty of work for them to do to help keep this nation safe, to uphold the Constitution, but this is a crock of crap. That's my opinion.
It's a disgrace.
It is a disgrace.
And we need you doing our closing argument.
Can I? I was going to ask you, Tony. Can I? I think. Of course, they will not.
We'll be a tag team. I'll start and then I'll tag you and you come
in. It would be the peak of my life. You know, that would be it. But here's one of the problems, because the judge, in any of these situations, no judge is going to tell jurors that you can, you know, if you find they violated this federal statute, that you can say not guilty because you think the law is ridiculous. They're not going to tell people that. They will tell people, you must obey, you must obey. And that's I mean, that you're not going to be able
They're
to say.
They're saying that about three times, you know, every session.
Uh-huh. And they don't must obey. Is there any, say somebody who's thinking, well, gee, if I were in that situation, I would just play dumb. And when push came to shove, I would say not guilty, by golly, because I really firmly believe this is the wrong. This law is so misguided. It's so wrong. And it is causing a lot of human suffering. Okay. This is not compassionate. This is causing immense human suffering that is not necessary. It is not right. And see, I'm getting so mad here. I'm not losing. But you can't say if I were doing that closing argument, you can't say, okay, jury, you can nullify this. You can't.
You do it in a different way. What I introduced the subject matter, and it's not jury nullification, it's credibility. And if law enforcement has an interest, bias, and motive, if the litigation really has ulterior political motives, if what they really want to do is stop the medical marijuana movement by taking out the leaders and the activists, then their whole case lacks integrity, and the jury can disbelieve officers. If you disbelieve the officers, there's not enough evidence to convict.
That's right.
So, you know, it's perfectly legal. It isn't jury nullification. It is a theme, however, that jurors
and of all people out there, Tony Nocera knows how to make that closing argument. Yes, you do. All right, folks. You can call in 766-1240 if you'd like a chance to talk to Tony Nocera or Molly and Dale, because they're just kind of the backstage, right? I got Tony Nocera right here.
We're standing back and watching.
And also, if you're on one of Peter B's stations, our toll-free number, 877-766-1240. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC. Stay with us.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs, our friends Louis Basil of Jamestown Real Estate and Ronnie Bramer of New Horizon Real Estate Group in St. Petersburg, Florida, will be on the show talking about investing in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. Call Louis Basil now at 415-531-6815 to learn about these areas. That's 415-531-6815. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know, I
the show on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
All right, folks, there we go. Let's get to tell you about the latest. Well, we got a problem in Freedom Boulevard at Bowker. It's an accident there. Two cars involved in this particular crash as well. And we're just getting information on this one. Also want to report that we do have a problem. It is in, it's also in Hollister Airline Highway at 120, at Highway 25. A van and a car reportedly blocking lane. CHP is on scene. Soquel Porter Street at Main Street. A car and a bus blocking the turn lane there. Getting word of a problem in King City. It's Metz Road at Elm Road. It's a pickup truck stalled out. It's blocking a lane. Santa Cruz, northbound 1 before 17, a crash in the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. This report brought to you by Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder, the number one selling medicated foot powder in America.
Deb Smith Show, weeknights from 9 to 10 on Sacramento's first progressive talk station, 1240 Talk City, KSAC.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Christine Kraft, and you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City, and all of Peter B. Collins' excellent radio stations in Portland, Coos Bay, Oregon, the Monterey Peninsula, and Eureka, California. Welcome one and all. Our phone number locally, 766-1240, if you want to talk to Tony, Sarah, or, every day you can just about talk to Molly and Dale, but they're here. I got Tony Sarah next to me. This is one of the reasons I went to law school at the ripe old age, passed the bar at age 50, and this was a second career for me. People like you who really...
I've been doing it, unfortunately, 44 years.
Is that all?
I'm much older than you.
Maybe just a bit.
I look good.
No, you look great. So let's continue talking about this case in federal court. We've got... let's talk to Joel in Sacramento on line... Joel. Yeah. I don't know why you wrote that. Hey, Joel, what's up? Oh. Joel, are you there?
No, maybe this is Cass.
This is who?
Cass.
Oh, Cass. Go ahead, Cass.
You were talking about the jury and disagreeing with the law they didn't think made common sense.
I have no idea what this jury thinks. They've just been in panel. They've just heard opening statements. Who knows what they think?
You mentioned that, Christine, earlier.
Right. There is a thing in which a jury can decide, basically, Tony. I mean, some people call it jury nullification. If you decide that the law itself violates your sense of constitutionality or common sense, you can, even if the defendants in a particular case may meet the whatever the law is. Oh, they did something. They hopscotch backwards. Oh, yes, they did. They've proven that. You may think that's a ridiculous law. You can say not guilty.
Hmm. Well, I was at a jury trial recently. The judge's instruction was very clear to me, and I wish.
Sure, they're not going to tell you what you can do, and but there's no. For example, Tony, let's tell this young juror because he's been told you by a judge you have to. If you find so and so, then you must do so and so. Is there any penalty if you decide? Well, you know, maybe those defendants fit in what the law says, but I think the law is absurd, ridiculous, not compassionate. It's time to say no to this. Can you punish that juror somewhere? Can they get thrown in jail if they vote not guilty?
No, they don't go behind the jury vote to ascertain the rationale for the vote. If a jury proclaims someone not guilty, that ends it.
That ends the discussion. So you do still have rights. You still have your own conscience. You can still be your own master. And I'm not telling anybody to disobey judges. I'm not saying that at all, because that would be foolish to do. The judge tells you to sit down. You probably should sit down. But you do have, in that deliberative phase, you are separate and apart from what anyone tells you. You don't have to do what the prosecutor tells you. You don't have to do what the judge tells you necessarily. In your own deliberative process, you are an individual. You are part of a group impaneled to make that decision. And you do have freedom from anybody telling you how to think, certainly, in this free country, how to vote. You can do what you want to do.
Okay. Only one comment. What I was told under oath was a question. Well, will you promise to follow the law even if you do disagree with the law? That was the question that was posed to us at a, very early in the
selection
process.
What would you say to this juror or any other prospective jurors on that issue? What should they know when they hear that kind of language?
I don't know.
Well, I know you don't, but Tony's got an idea.
Okay. No, you must abide by what the judge says. On the other hand, if you decide an acquittal is merited by the evidence, no one has the right to probe you or interrogate you as to what your rationale is.
And your rationale can be just about anything, whatever
well,
your particular...
Well, you may not believe the police officers. You may think that the case is really, you know, a political subterfuge. It's not
entrapment.
Really a case. Yes, you have large prerogatives, but I must state that you every trial, not just the trial you are in, the jurors must obey the law, and if they say they can't, they're taken off. So, you know, in the formalistic sense, you're bound by what the judge instructs, but there'll be room to
there is wiggle
acquit.
Room to think and to use your brain, your heart, your gut instincts. To apply, and no one can take that away from you. Not the Bush administration, not any federal judge or state judge or anybody else. Your deliberative process is, as far as I know still, last time I checked, yours and yours alone. Thank you very much for the call. And it is a thorny question, but people need to understand that they do have the right to have their own deliberative process about this and decide whether or not they're going to go along or they think that what's happened here is right, fair, etc. 766. So if you're listening over at the federal courthouse, I'm not telling anyone, nor is Tony Sarah or either of these defendants, telling people to disobey the judge to go out that way. But we're not telling this jury anything, because we certainly hope that they are listening to this judge and not listening to this program. We don't want people listening to this program. We don't want to go all the way down to the path of a trial and then have someone say, oh, well, you know, that juror had on Talk City 1240 and have, hey, say a good verdict thrown out, and we want a good verdict. I mean, I'm very clear about wanting a not guilty verdict here. I think I've made that clear. So does Tony Sarah. So do these defendants.
Yeah.
Who's up next?
Yeah.
Nobody? Okay. So you want to speak up here? Tony Sarah's here.
No, Tony should get all the limelight. But as we've been saying over and over, how can you enact a California law when they're trying so hard to say that you're trying to violate a federal law? And that's all Dale and I ever tried to do, was enact California law.
Well, I know. And that's really is all they tried to do, isn't it?
And the law provide a defense. And
yes,
the legislature met, remember, recently
legislative
in Washington
intent.
To attempt to legislate some fashion that persons who follow state law can have relief under the federal system, but they fail to legislate. It will come. We are right.
This is part of history right now, don't you feel, this case? I mean, they're trying to make an example to what they're trying to scare other physicians, don't
it's
you think?
It's the last hurrah, I think, of a federal government that presently, and I'm talking about, you know, Bush and the executive policies under him, that will be changed, hopefully, by the next election.
Absolutely. And I'm sure Alberto Gonzalez would come up here, and we would be asking him questions. But how about habeas corpus? Oh, sorry, Alberto. Hey, Alberto, habeas this, baby. And he would come up and talk about how he's such doing a good job in busting physicians who provide compassionate care for their patients. I'm just guessing there what he might say. So there. Well, are you back in trial tomorrow, or is it just three days a week?
No, we're recessed until Monday afternoon, 1:30. That's why I said we only do 3.5 days a week.
Yeah.
And the judge has other matters Monday morning and all day Friday, and that obviously protracts the length of the trial. But I think in this case it's good. There's a lot of profound issues. in the evidence, extracted from the evidence. It gives them a lot of time.
We're
going to
follow every bit of it. We're almost out of time here, but I have to tell you, as somebody who had a whole career as a television anchor and reporter and then went to law school later in life, you're the kind of lawyer who inspired me to do that. See how crazy I was? Thank you, Tony Starrett. It's a great pleasure
to finally meet you. It's a pleasure
to
listen to you. In your realm, you're the best.
You need somebody to help with that closing argument. You don't, but I'll come down there. I can do it. I can do it. Yeah. Right. I actually licensed the practice in that court, too, so just in case. I get stuck on 80 or something, you call me. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, and all of Peter B. Collins' excellent station. See you tomorrow at 3. I'm Christine.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Sad news now about Sherry Engebretson, a woman who'd been missing since the Minneapolis bridge collapsed. Authorities say she is among the four people confirmed dead. All day her worried family had been waiting for word and clinging to hope. Daughter Jessica spoke to CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts.
I've been up all night. This is something you don't deal with every day.
How's your dad?
He's a mess. We just want her home.
At least eight people are still missing. The Federal Transportation Department is urging states with similar bridges to inspect them immediately, and Transportation Secretary Mary Peters has asked the department's inspector general for a rigorous assessment of the National Bridge Inspection Program. Governor Tim Pawlenty says his state will do the same.
I've directed the Minnesota Department of Transportation to hire an outside firm to review stem to stern all of their inspection practices and protocols and procedures.
State bridge engineer Dan Dorgan says problems with the 35W span were known for years.
This bridge was considered structurally deficient, and it was for the bearing issue, the fact that we had fatigue in the approach spans, but it repaired it, and then also the corrosion.
Corrosion on the bearings was discovered 17 years ago. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick has more from Minneapolis.
While they honored the victims at church services, they learned the death toll is likely to grow.
We have several individuals at that scene that were not recovered.
Police Chief Tim Dolan says responders did reach some of them, but were unable to get them out of submerged cars, many trapped by the steel debris.
People that were pinned, people that were partly crushed.
And one who realized he wouldn't make it.
An individual was severely injured and was talking to medical personnel and was able to say his goodbyes to his family and it would be passed on.
Cammy McCormick, CBS News, Minneapolis.
It's no surprise that lenders who gave mortgages to people with weak credit are in trouble now, but American Home Mortgage, which made loans to people with good credit, is in the same boat. The company just announced it stopped taking mortgage applications and most of its 7,000 employees will be terminated tomorrow. Mortgage rates, by the way, have declined. This week's average for a 30-year fixed-rate loan is 6.68%. A major stroke can be devastating, but that's not to say something less severe can be ignored. CBS News correspondent Barry Vagnato has the latest research.
Silent strokes or whispering strokes can significantly reduce your ability to function and your quality of life, a study says. The warning signs are the same as for more serious strokes, for instance.
Inability to express your thoughts, to understand what other people are saying.